about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. It is fun. It's not funny, but it is fun for the other people getting heard.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, Paul, we need to talk.
Hey, I'm headed off to Portland.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to surprise you. Everything all right?
I'm doing stuff.
That's cool. Look, doing stuff is natural.
Dad.
I used to do stuff. I used to do stuff like 3 times a day, okay? I still do stuff.
Dad.
I don't do stuff as much as I used to because now I'm tired from doing other stuff. But there's no crime here. There's not going to be a trial. There's nothing that happened. I don't even know what we were talking about. When I was your age, you used to get these magazines for, like, my sisters that would be, like, you know, like a lingerie or swimsuit. I know, but now you go online, you see a clown f***ing an alpaca.
I'm gonna watch that, Dad.
It's not a big deal.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Are you addicted to drugs?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
Fire.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I'm a rock.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yes, I said it.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Astaire.
Roll another one.
I too am a big fan of vagina.
Just like the other one.
I like Bush.
This one seems to be about to end.
Just a little pink.
I don't have another cent.
Song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Bunch of douchebags.
Just pass it around.
I drink your milkshake.
He's down on the phone.
And now
we remind everyone how many people around the world die.
Our feature presentation.
Wow. Thank you, Diane Sawyer.
Yeah. It's a little, all right. Remind us how people die. It's good.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday. It's the 6th of March. It's Friday, you guys.
Yes, it is.
Feels like it. No.
Long week.
Yeah. A little bit.
An 11-day week.
I don't know what that means.
No.
Some of them are super long. Some weeks are more than 5 days. Some weeks fly by. Some weeks are 2.5 days. Some weeks are 15 days.
I'm not sure I've ever met an 11-day week.
All right.
Okay.
Really?
I'll go with you on that.
Here's a story to get us started. I think you guys are going to be on the same page with me as to who's at fault in this situation. This is Valentine's Day. Kathleen Hampton is her name. She lives in Portland, Oregon. And she made reservations at a nearby Italian eatery, Enzo's Cafe Italiano, for Valentine's Day with her husband. So far, so good, right?
Yep. Sure.
Well, at the last minute on that Valentine's Day, a couple of Saturdays ago, her husband decided not to join her because he said he was still full from lunch.
Wow. Still full from lunch.
I think that tells me everything I need to know about Miss Kathleen Hampton, because at what point does your husband bail on Valentine's? Look, going out to dinner for Valentine's Day is not about eating, okay? Yeah. It's about
That's
celebrating.
Awesome. Yeah. I wish I was hungry.
So you go on ahead, honey. I know it's Valentine's Day, but you go eat alone. So she went to the restaurant, and she sat alone at their reserved table for two. And she says no one would take her order. She says, in fact, the restaurant came to her and asked her to give up the table, which totally makes sense to me because it's freaking Valentine's Day. And you don't – I mean, I'm sure they were packed. Seems like a nice eatery. I'm sure they had people who – you know, couples that they could have used to sit at that table rather than just have it taken up by one.
But she made a reservation.
Yeah, she wanted to eat. So she was proving her point.
I feel like she's good.
So far, she's good. Okay.
Yeah.
So she says no one would take her order. She was asked to give up her table. She says that she tried to give the restaurant a way out by ordering to go, and they told me they don't do takeout. She said that was the final straw. I never heard of a food place not having to go. I was devastated, and I cried for a whole day. I don't want this to happen to anyone else. That's why I'm suing.
I'm suing.
Oh, jeez.
Still like her? Still
no.
On her side?
No. No.
According to the restaurant owner, Enzo Lanzadoro, he recalls a very different scenario. He says she made a reservation for two. When she got to the restaurant, she said, oh, I'm just here by myself. We offered for her to sit at the bar with the other single diners since it's Valentine's Day and it's very busy. Instead, what she did is she got up from the table and left without paying after she drank two glasses of wine. Any guesstimates on how much the restaurant is being sued for, by the way? What do you think that's worth, that humiliation of what she considers poor service on Valentine's Day?
Usually these lawsuits are ridiculously out of proportion, so I'll go $10
million. Oh, my.
$10 million.
Yeah. I'm going to go $2
million. $2
million. Well, Allie, you're closer. $100,000 is what she's asking for.
Still she's crazy, but
ridiculous. She should get it, though, right? That's what we're saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
She also wants a public apology, both in person and in writing, in news and community papers. I have to say that I think the restaurant prevails on this one, if it even it goes to trial. And I also have to say that she's representing herself.
She is?
In court, yes. She's planning on representing herself.
And that always works.
Has anyone checked? Does she really have a husband? Or did she... No, really. Did she plan this all?
That is an excellent question, Allie. He's nowhere to be seen in this piece, I'll tell you that.
And now we see why.
But, by the way, in an interview with the local news, Channel 6 in Portland, this is not in her lawsuit, but an interview with Channel 6, she says she believes that race was a factor.
Wow.
Of course.
Because she's black. So everything about this woman screams to me that she's a bad person.
She's a bitch.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll keep my eyes peeled if I see how this one works out. But there you go.
Right. $100,000.
Not a great Valentine's Day for anyone.
No.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
The Bible's against it. Nope. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
And by again, he means against, I'm sure.
That's what I got.
It's a weird preacher right there. Cal Penn will be in studio today.
Love him.
Love him in everything he does. Battle Creek is the new show he's on, and he's great on that as well. We're going to talk to him today. We have Terry Crews on the program, who's also awesome.
Yeah.
Kelly Rohrbeck, who is the Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit rookie of the year. That's all. Just that.
You're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. We're not, but if you are, that's fine.
Well, we can't just have guests for us. It would just be brain surgeons all the time.
That's correct.
Every once in a while, we got to dumb it down for people who are just into boobs.
We got the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Dev Patel. Did I say it wrong twice in a row?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Dev Patel.
There you go.
Yeah. From the movie Chappie, which yesterday I called Chippy.
Yep.
Which was I think that was about Chip. And comedian Eddie Ift in studio a little bit later on this morning as well. And we've got your tickets for Foolishness. That's coming up on K-Rock. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, scary news yesterday. I'm sure you know by now that Harrison Ford, 72-year-old movie legend, crash-landed his vintage single-engine plane into Penmore Golf Course yesterday afternoon, shortly after taking off from Santa Monica Airport. Hey, here's the thing. You're rich, Harrison Ford. Buy a new plane. Don't fly any World War II planes anymore, dumbass. It had mechanical issues. Of course it does. You know what? It's 70 years old.
It looked pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, look pretty good. Look very sexy.
Yeah.
Get a new plane! Brand new stuff in it.
I was wondering about that, too. What is the appeal for people with those that old aviation? It does seem like that's the one place you don't want to skimp.
Well,
I think if I'm flying a small plane, I want every available modern piece of technology on my plane.
But we don't think like these guys do, Bean. These guys, they're like classic car collectors.
Yeah, they're car guys like that, too, yeah.
You know, some guys just want the 57 T-Bird. They don't want to drive the 2015 Mustang.
Right.
And so this plane was a Ryan P-22, which has two open cockpits, which is another turn-on for some guys. They like the fresh air flying. It was built in 1942. Yeah, that's an old plane. Yeah. So he got up in the air and had problems almost immediately and decided he had to ditch it. found the golf course. I mean, by all accounts, he did exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's amazing that he walked away.
He did walk away. He got pretty beat up.
Yeah.
But, of course, because it was a golf course, two doctors were there, and they were able to... They were able to take care of him immediately after he got out of the plane. Two doctors are right there.
I'm sure there were plenty of attorneys as well.
Yes.
Wow.
So he was fine. They say that the tower, the air traffic controllers, could have helped Ford more if they could have understood what he was saying over the phone. Apparently it was like, can we help? What? Wait, can't. What? Over. Roger. Everything's fine here. How are you? So they had no idea what was going on. They could have helped him.
Ralph, you talk about how he did everything he should have. I mean, aviation experts are just raving about the decisions that he made. The fact that he was able to land it on a golf course, the safest place. I mean, he was only a few seconds away from the runway, but, you know, he managed to avoid people, managed to avoid trees, managed to put it down without flipping it. I mean, and that's a apparently that's a tough plane to fly with a failed engine.
Yeah, because usually all planes you're trying to hit Nazis with it. that particular plane, it would have been easier if he had, as I mentioned before, a plane from this century. Stupid Harrison Ford. Yeah. This guy flies spaceships.
Yeah.
Why does he fly one of those spaceships? With that big dog he travels with.
And I also wondered, wouldn't you guess that most small plane pilots never crash in their whole lives?
I would hope so, or else they'd be just falling from the sky constantly.
How many times has Harrison Ford crashed? We know he crashed that helicopter. I know he crashed a plane. He crash-landed a plane in Nebraska one time. I mean, it seems like he's got a long history of bringing him down.
Three or four. It turns out he's a crappy pilot. Wow. That's what we're learning about Harrison Ford.
Or he just loves the thrill of trying to land them once they're turned off.
Or he's just tired of life.
That could be, too.
He just keeps trying to take himself out and can't get it right. Hey, a quick reminder. Don't forget this weekend it's daylight savings time, so make sure that you take care of moving your clock.
Forward.
Huh? We spring forward. So we spring forward. Right. We fall back and we spring forward.
We lose an hour. And that's Saturday night, Sunday morning?
Sunday morning at 2. Right.
Yeah. 2 a.m.
Yeah, 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. Don't forget.
Daylight savings.
You're writing it down.
It's important. It's important to follow daylight savings time because it saves us all that energy during the war. It's another antiquated thing, this damn daylight savings time. It's from World War II. That's when they decided to do it. Well, we got to collect rubber and turn the clock back. All right. Stop it. The war's over. Why do I have to lose an hour's sleep for Churchill?
I think the reason that most states still do it, Ralph, is because people would rather have that extra light at night after work rather than in the morning when they're not really
watching
it.
YouTube by light?
Yeah,
so they can watch more stuff by light? Come on. We're not all out there farming and milking cows anymore, are we?
I think there's a significant movement afoot to stop the practice. Either stay on standard time or daylight time, but just pick one and leave it there.
I'm with them.
I'm with them, too.
I'm with those people and their feet.
Do you remember back in the day, Ralph, that Jimmy Kimmel used to take about 4 to 6 weeks to recover from every time change?
He'd have to go on vacation after the time change because he would just lose his mind.
And he was serious.
Yeah.
Serious.
Yeah. This is really tough.
Completely out of whack.
This week is really tough. Yeah, it's just insane. You go, how is it really tough?
Hour.
Almost an hour. Take it easy.
Looks like we know what's going to happen in the big Diane Sawyer-Bruce Jenner interview. Details are being leaked from that sit-down.
It's already been taped?
It's already been taped.
Okay.
According to In Touch Weekly magazine, sources tell them that she asks about everything. His sex life, his cosmetic surgeries, and his plans for the future. Word is, he wants to get nice-sized breasts.
Okay.
Apparently he's big. He's about a B cup now with the hormones, but he wants to get full sized, nice, full, supple breasts.
And so he's going full beer mug.
And plans to keep his man parts for now. Plans to keep his penis.
Okay.
That seems like cheating to me. Pick a side, Bruce.
He's on the fence.
Be one or the other, man.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a penis and breasts.
Wouldn't you for a bit?
Just, I guess.
What, just keep the penis just in case I change my mind?
Maybe not change your mind, just let it go for a bit.
Just let my penis go for a bit?
Yeah.
I got into trouble last time I tried to do that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Wow, well, look at all the stars born on today, March 6th. Rob Reiner, legendary actor, writer, director, 68 years old today. What's he doing? What's the last thing he directed? I need to see more Rob Reiner movies.
Yeah, it's been a while since he directed. We do see him from time to time on New Girl. He's Jess's dad, right? Mm-hmm.
Tom Arnold.
Yeah, I don't remember the last movie he made.
Tom Arnold's 56 years old. Comedian D.L. Hughley, friend of the show. He's 52. Actress Connie Britton is 48 years old. Oh, my God. Can you believe with her and Deacon? Then she slaps him? What's up with that?
Well, it's tough news to hear, Ralph.
Well, yeah. I got enough problems. I need a new liver, and you're slapping my face.
Then she hugged him and kissed him.
Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal's 43 years old. Soccer player Tim Howard is 36 years old. Vampire Weekend drummer Chris Thompson is 31. And Tyler, the Creator, celebrates his 24th birthday.
Oh, I hope we can get him back on the show.
Me too. That was a great interview.
Legendary.
Maybe we should play a little piece of that to celebrate his birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Dev Patel joins us on the show in less than an hour from right now, talking about one of the new films opening up this weekend called Chappie. Ralph will review that and everything else in theaters this weekend right now with the Movie Beat.
In a world someone has been watching, one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
In limited release this weekend, friend of the show Adam Carolla has his new film, Road Hard, which comes out. The story of a stand-up comedian who, after the cancellation of his TV show and after an expensive divorce, has to go back on the road as a stand-up comic to provide for his daughter and himself, and he's none too happy about it. It's good. You're going to find this hard to believe, but Adam Carolla plays a cranky, funny person in this movie.
What?
Yep. Adam Carolla, David Alan Greer, Jay Moore, Dave Koechner, a bunch of funny people are in it. Here's a scene where Howie Mandel is asking Adam's character, Bruce, to audition on the spot as a to be a game show host.
You know what? You don't have to dance for these ass clowns.
Thank you.
But you're going to have to dance for me, bitch.
You think I feel great every time I show up to one of my three shows? Well, guess what? America can't know what I'm feeling. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something, and you keep this amongst yourselves. There's an episode of Deal or No Deal where I my pants. I have to dance. And now, you're going to dance, bitch. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Renaissance man himself, Bruce Madsen. Lights, camera, your pants.
All right, there you go. If you ever want to see Adam Carolla at his pants, like, this is the movie for you. The second best exotic Marigold Hotel. See, because before it was the best exotic Marigold Hotel. Now this is the second best exotic Marigold Hotel. See what they've done? Hello? Stay on. If you liked the first film, you're going to love this one. Many of the same classic British stars return. Judi Dench, Maggie Smith, Bill Nighy. Oh, damn, I love Bill Nighy so much. Dev Patel is in this movie. How many movies does Dev Patel have this weekend? Two!
Yeah. Big weekend.
How many movies do we have opening this weekend?
Mm.
None movies!
Zero.
This year?
None.
Maybe if we were nicer to Adam Carolla, we could have been in his
there
instead of the people he hired to play DJs interviewing him.
That's true. If only he knew some DJs who could interview him.
Right? The right choice.
Here you go. Here's a little clip from the film of Dev Patel is trying to impress Richard Gere, who's in the cast of this film as well. Here's a scene from the second best exotic Marigold Hotel.
Now I shall bring you food guaranteed to tickle even your most talented taste buds.
Wow, that was thorough. Find any polyps up there?
He's the one.
What one?
Our evaluator, sent to decide if we are to be franchise or footnote.
What's your evidence?
The nose knows, Mrs. Donnelly.
Oh, right. So that's bollocks, then.
I love that Maggie Smith so much.
She's adorable. I love old British people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to retire to England so I can be amongst old British people.
All right.
In my dotage, as they say in old England.
Your what?
My dotage.
Dotage?
Yes. Look it up, Kevin.
All right.
Chippy opens up this weekend. If you're Kevin, for the rest of us, Chappie will be the name of the film. Neil Blomkamp, man who gave you District 9 and Elysium, returns with another dystopic vision of the future. Chappie is a part of a mechanized police force. Apparently, in the future, crime is patrolled by robots. And in this film, one of the police droids is stolen and reprogrammed to give him the ability to think and feel for himself. That robot is Chappie, and he turns the tide for humanity in this film. Sharpto Copley stars, of course, as he does in all of Neil's films. Dev Patel, as I mentioned, has another film this weekend. Hugh Jackman, Sigourney Weaver. There's your cast. Here's a scene where the chick from D'Antwood is training Chappie to be just like a real boy.
Chappy, if you want to be in the gang, you have to be cool, like Daddy. Look how Daddy walks. Look how cool he is. You need to keep a gangster, Chappy.
You need to keep a gangster.
Yeah, you need to be cool.
Don't laugh, I'm being cool.
Even when you put a gun, you have to be cool like this. Boom! You try.
No, I can't shoot people.
What?
I can't shoot them, they didn't do anything to me.
How are you going to do the heist with us if you don't shoot people?
I can't do a heist. Heist is a crime. I promised.
Wow. That's actually Ninja from Dantwood. It wasn't the chick, it was Ninja. But he can't shoot people. He's a nice robot.
Yeah.
He can't shoot people. He's learned things.
He has emotions. Yeah.
He has emotions. He's nice.
Yeah.
Nicer than you.
How dare you?
And lastly, unfinished business, Vince Vaughn. I hesitate to say the name because Allie McKay swoons and falls off her chair every time I say
his name. He's the perfect man.
Yeah.
All right. Easy.
Okay.
He stars as a hardworking small businessman who's trying to go up against a bigger company that actually he quit from, so it's personal as well. And they go on a routine business trip that starts to go off the rails in every way imaginable. And that includes a stop at a Berlin sex fetish event for gay men and a global economic summit. And it's just a nightmare, but it's hilarious. Vince Vaughn, Dave Franco, Tom Wilkinson, James Marsden, Sienna Frost. We all saw this film and we all loved it. So you might want to check it out this weekend. Here is Vince Vaughn asking Dave Franco, who he's considering hiring for his small company, a couple questions.
What did you do at Dynamic?
No, I don't work there.
You just walked out of there.
Well, I interviewed.
But you got a box with office belongings there?
Yeah, I brought it to the interview to show competence.
Do you have any sales experience?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Great.
Yeah, Foot Locker.
And reasons for leaving?
I don't like feet.
Yeah, that would be a problem if you're working Foot Locker. Dave Franco's just charming in this film.
He's great.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
As sort of a simpleton with a heart of gold. I love when he tries to translate the German navigation system in the car once they get to Berlin. I got it in German because we're in Germany, and they'll know all the German roads and stuff. Yeah, we'd know that, but they can tell us in English. I can translate. I think it says, have a good day. Just kick back and enjoy yourself. Don't take things too seriously.
He's awesome.
Yeah. That's my pick for the weekend, Unfinished Business. I really enjoyed it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
What about noon today when tickets go on sale through Ticketmaster for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015? It's coming up fast, you guys. Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. If you missed the announcement yesterday, unfortunately, our friend Jonah Ray had some scheduling conflicts come up with his TV show, so he will not be with us on that night. But Jay Moore has kindly agreed to join the bill. So now you got your Jay Moore, you got your Ralphie May, Gabriel Iglesias, Tenacious D, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and our old friend Brad Williams. House music by DJ Mike Rum. That's all going to be on one stage on one night, and it will sell out. So you want to buy those tickets at noon today through Ticketmaster. Get all the details at krock.com.
And all the proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. So thank you to all the comedians who are doing this for free.
Yeah, it's a great night. You tweeted something yesterday, Kevin, about how you think it's the best night of the year.
I could
be right about that. You won't get more entertainment value. Tickets as cheap as $25 to see this show. And then the upfront section, what we're calling the party bus section, no bus included, $99. And that includes the preferential parking and the great seats. And you get the meet and greet with the Kevin and Bean show before the event. And you also get a T-shirt and the whole deal. So, there's really no bad seat in that place either. So you'll have a great time.
What's happening with the alcoholic Russian bears? What's up with them? Have you seen that story?
I want to laugh about this, but it's so sad.
Well,
this story
they moved
is
on,
so
right?
Sad.
I think it's taken a turn for the better.
Well, I hope so. I mean, this is a big week for people who deeply empathize with the condition of animals around the world. This was a big week when the Ringling Brothers came out and said they're not going to be using elephants in the circus anymore. They're starting to phase those out. I think that's great news. If these bears that you're talking about, Kevin, from Sochi, if they really are going to be rehabilitated and sent off to a bear preserve rather than living in cages in front of a bar, yeah, I think it's a good step up for them.
They were right outside a bar/restaurant, and people would give them alcohol all the time, and they were literally drunk bears.
Yeah.
So now they're alcoholics.
And the owner said, oh, yeah, it's all good. It's cold here. They need it.
Yeah.
So the bears have been taken from it.
The pictures are horrifying. Just they're living in these cages in squalor, and people are shining their car lights at them. They're throwing trash in there. It's really upsetting.
It is upsetting. But I think the point of this bit is that we're happy
right.
for the bears, right?
Man,
yes.
Oh, man. Take it easy. Dean's all upset. Allie's crying. What the hell?
Upset.
This is just a bit. Take it easy.
These poor
bears. What the hell's going on? Oh, I feel so bad. Shut up.
So if they go to the bear reserve in Romania, I guess we're all going to be happy. So let's find out what progress is of that. I think we do have a representative on the line from the bear sanctuary. Hello there, sir.
Oh, wow. Wow. Are we talking to one of the bears?
You are talking to bear.
Oh, so great of you to pick up the phone. Now, are you one of the alcoholic Russian bears from Sushi?
Yes. I am Bear from Sushi. I heard woman there talking on your radio show.
Yes.
Saying I live in squalor.
She did say that.
I don't live in squalor. I live in Sushi. What's wrong with you?
Apologies. It just seemed like in the pictures I saw in the cage, there was a lot of trash thrown in there.
That's like mansion in Sochi. You kidding?
I see.
People who go for Olympics. I tell you, they live in like building made of paper.
Well, you don't know this about our friend Allie, but she has some sort of a weird bear fetish that we're just starting to explore.
I love bears.
Oh, come over here then. Come on, Malinky Betishka. Let me give you a little bit bear penis.
So what's the deal? First of all, you were relieved, I assume, to be rescued from Sochi and moved to Romania, right?
No, I'm not relieved. You don't understand what they're talking about? Make me stop drinking.
Yeah,
well, right.
They're going to put you through rehab so you're not an alcoholic bear anymore.
I did not ask for rehab.
Right, but
it's one helping, not drinking.
Right,
you
but it's
help me. Give me more drinking. I did not go on Dr. Drew program. Help me get off beer. I desperately want my life back. No, I don't want my life back. First of all, never been late for work because of drinking.
Okay, all right.
I don't have any personal repercussions because of drinking.
Yeah, well, okay.
I like drinking.
Okay.
Yes, I think. Whoa. The concern, though, is for your health. If you're going to live a long time, you need to cut down on the alcohol so that you will be healthy.
I'd rather live short life drunk than long life sober.
That's just the alcohol talking, I think.
I live in Russia.
Well, there's that.
And they want to send me. You know what wants to send me? You know where they want to send me?
Well, Romania. Isn't it Romania?
Romania. You ever been to Romania?
I can't say that I have.
No.
You never drink more in your life you need it than be Romania. You get there and look at Romanian women, which, first of all, look like bear, and they're not even bears.
Right.
Mm.
They're just big and hairy and fat.
Yes.
And you say, oh, boy, do I need drink. That's where I'm going to be sober, in that place.
Yeah, they're not going to give you a drink there.
Oh, F my L. FML. F.
Right.
Yeah.
I need drink.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Yep.
106.7. You know when you're getting emails from Kevin at 11:15 at night?
Yeah, that's late night.
That it's not going to be a good show the next day. You can tell.
Didn't sleep much.
Slurry is a-coming, as they say in the old-time spiritual.
Can I try it again?
Slurry is a-coming.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Well done.
Kevin and Bean Show, 6:54.
Kevin has made the decision next weekend, Ralph, to go to South by Southwest in Austin.
I know. It's a great idea. So, I think he really should push it hard because when he gets when he has no energy and he gets no sleep and he's partying, then that's when the magic happens.
That's when the magic happens. Good times. Got to get those moments with racked up,
right? That's right.
The excellent actor Dev Patel, who, as Ralph told us earlier this hour, is starring in two major motion pictures coming out this weekend, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show next. Comedian Eddie Ift next hour as well. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, let me give you some tickets to one of my favorite events of the year. It's called Paley Fest. Paley Fest 2015, appropriately enough, this year. It's March 6th through the 15th at the Dolby Theater. And what this is, if you're not familiar, is that the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they do tributes to our favorite TV shows, past and present, at this time of the year. Great lineup this year. Homeland, Comedy Central, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Arrow and the Flash, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story, and more. You get to meet the cast and creative teams of your favorite TV shows during the Paley Fest. And you can get more details at paleycenter.org, by the way. And if you're not, you should join. You should become a member of this organization because they do great work in preserving our popular culture with radio and television. If you'd like to see an evening with the cast and creative team of Girls, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. The TV show from HBO, Girls, will be paid tribute to this year. If you'd like to go, give us a call right now. Let's say the 8th caller, since it's on March the 8th. The 8th caller to get through with that number gets a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creative team of Girls. You get to see that Allison Williams.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
Maybe get to see her butt.
They do that at these events? I don't...
With that show, they might.
Yeah, they might. Nom, 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 nom.
All right, this is... Come on now with this.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a good point, Ralph. You nailed it.
It's just, I was talking last hour about Bruce Jenner and the sit-down interview he's doing with Diane Sawyer talking about his transition from man to woman, right?
Yes.
Details are starting to leak. They have recorded the interview and details are leaking out saying that he tells Diane everything. She talks about his sex life and his cosmetic surgeries and his plans for the future. And apparently he says he's going to get... Yeah, he's looking forward to getting larger breasts, so I'm guessing he's going to get an implant surgery. But for the time being, he's holding on to his penis. He's going to keep that.
Literally?
He's going to walk around holding it. Okay. But what really disturbed me is this news, which is Jenner told his children on camera.
Oh, you're kidding.
For Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They announced that episode 13 of this season of Keeping Up the Kardashians will feature Bruce Jenner breaking the news to his children about his transition from male to female.
Is it possible that they just recreated what actually happened?
I mean,
that he already... They had to know.
I hope so. I hope so. You mean they had to know just from the way he was living his life?
Yeah, and the way he looked.
But still, when you have that conversation with your kids, is that something you want to do in front of a camera?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that shows mostly fake.
Yeah, I bet he had the conversation a long time ago with him.
And
they're like, hey, sit on this couch and act surprised. Chris, run out.
Well, they say all the girls get very emotional while they're filming it, so maybe...
Maybe
they're good actors, but I hope you're right. I hope you are right that's the case, because, man...
Yeah.
Is nothing sacred for these people? Can they just have any private moments of real life?
You know the answer to that.
But that's disgusting.
Yeah. But, Ralph, wasn't it like a week ago you were giving us a story that E! Had renewed their contract and they were signed a $100 million deal?
For four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
This is what they do.
I don't like them.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt. If I see one more piece about Kim Kardashian dyeing her hair, though, I'm getting ready to unplug from the internet for life.
Isn't it crazy?
She went
blonde, and that became a larger story than anything you've ever seen.
Yeah. It's everywhere. You can't avoid it.
She looks like a Gelfling from Dark Crystal.
How dare you?
I know. The Gelflings are cute. I want to give congratulations to Danielle Harris from Long Beach. She called in and she got those tickets to the Girls' Evening at Paley Fest. Congratulations, Danielle. I'll be giving away tickets to various TV shows at Paley Fest today and all next week as well.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Yep, I think I just mentioned Danielle Harris was our big winner. Of course, the big story in show business was this plane crash. Harrison Ford had to sit down his World War II antique plane at Penmar Golf Course yesterday afternoon, shortly after taking off from Santa Monica Airport. He had some mechanical issues and had to crash land the plane. He was able to walk away from the crash, although he was banged up pretty good. Luckily for him, because he was at a golf course, there were doctors on the scene, and they were able to treat him immediately after the crash. Apparently, according to his son Ben, he's pretty banged up, but he's healing up, and everyone's expecting him to recover fully. But still, terrifying stuff.
That guy's a stud.
He kind of is,
I mean,
right?
Really? 72, I think we said?
He is 72 years old, yeah. Although, I think this listener brings up a good point. D. Romero wrote in about the plane crash. Ralph, I was on my way home yesterday when I heard the breaking news that Harrison Ford had crashed his vintage plane. I'm glad he's okay and making a speedy recovery, but I'm surprised our favorite space pilot crashed an airplane. Maybe he's too old to fly. All I can say is, Han Solo needs a better hobby. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Han Solo needs a better hobby. Han Solo needs a better hobby. Han Solo needs a better hobby.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We sure do.
That's pretty strong. I like that.
Pretty strong.
You don't like that, Bean? Pretty strong.
Pretty strong.
Was it?
Give
really?
It a high
pretty
marks.
Strong.
Yep.
Okay.
And so when you're better hobby.
This Bugatti one, man, has taken off.
I am
it?
Snowed under. You have no idea what my inbox looks like. Just page after page after page of Bugatti. I'm just drowning in Bugatti.
I would like you at
That's
one...
Bugatti.
Yeah.
Right.
I would like you at one point to bring in some of the worst, though.
You want
like
to start the flip
the
around?
The misses,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So Allie can finally get her...
How I cannot take this aggression.
Sir.
This will not stand.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Rob Reiner's 68 years old. Actor Tom Arnold's 56. D.L. Hughley's 52. Connie Britton. We were just talking about Nashville off the air. I am so hooked on that freaking show. I get it. I know it's a soap opera. I know it's appealing to my baser instincts.
And no one hates country music more than you do.
No, but I am so all in on Nashville.
Will you watch the next episode in
yes,
a couple weeks?
Yes, Nashville on the Record.
Which is, though, all songs from the Opry.
I know, singing the songs at the Grand Ole Opry. Again, I don't like country music, but
you're gonna watch
but
it.
I'm going to watch it, and I like this country music. It's inexplicable to me that I enjoy this music.
Well, I haven't watched it. Bean, is it like some newer country?
You know what it is? It's not the crappy, overproduced stuff that is mostly what you hear on country radio anymore. These are actual good songs with good musicianship played by people who can sing. And the remarkable thing for me, Ralph, is that it's a cast of excellent actors, including some well-known people like Connie Britton, Hayden Panettiere, other people like that, and they can all sing and play.
Yeah. They all
That's what's amazing to me.
The duet that Connie Britton did with Chip Esten at the end of this episode this week, I thought was a beautiful song. This
Great
week,
song.
Too.
Yeah. Anyway. So good it couldn't get played on country radio today.
That's probably true. Exactly. Maybe that's why I hate country music.
Yeah.
Because, you know what it is? It's Red Solo Cup is getting airplay.
That's right.
Anyway, Connie Britton's 48 years old today. I might take up a career in country music. I think I might go in that
I
direction.
Think you have to. We've been saying for a long
it's
time.
It's a long way home.
Anyone can write a hit.
That's right.
You should do it.
She and the amazing thing also, just to continue to heap love on Connie Britton, is she's freaking Tammy Taylor on top of that. Like, how could she go on and do another role as great as that?
Not familiar with who you're talking about, but I'm sure it's very interesting.
Allie, you don't know this, but Ralph insists that Friday Night Lights was only in my imagination. Yes. It was never on television.
Bean just watched it in his head somehow.
Wow. Only one of the best shows on television.
Fantasy life.
They did their best to hide it, though. It went from channel to channel, night to night. You had no idea.
Bean used to watch it on a sheet that was in the backyard of some guy's house. They would just project it up on there. They would have secret meetings.
They would meet in a van and
they had
give them
a secret handshake. And they would meet. They had a viewership of 8, that show. have we had her on, Connie Britton?
I don't think we ever
have. I don't
have.
Think so.
What
I don't
the
think
what?
We
have.
I would melt. I don't know that I could talk to her.
All right, easy.
Whoa. Maybe
I'm
we
serious.
Shouldn't.
Or Chip Esten or any of these people from this show. I don't think we've had anyone on from
we've had
from
we had Scarlett on.
Oh, that's right, we did. She
we did
adorable.
Have Scarlett on, but I think that's about it for Nashville.
Gunner, we can have Gunner on. Let's have Gunner on. Scarlett turns out is from Australia. Gunner's a Brit. These people blow me away when they do those accents and sound just like Americans.
Yeah.
I want to see a Nashville Empire crossover. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yes. Wednesday night's amazing.
Shaquille O'Neal's 43 years old today. Tim Howard, soccer player, is 36. Chris Thompson, Vampire Weekend drummer, is 31. And Tyler, the Creator, celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chappie, right, you guys? Chappie.
Chappie, right?
I just love I love robots in general. I think you guys know that. And I am particularly excited about the artificial intelligence of robots. I understand that there is a danger that one day we will all surrender to our robot overlords. But I'm willing to take that chance if robots can do the cool stuff that they're doing in the movies these days. And Chappie looks awesome. It is everywhere in theaters and IMAX today. Very excited to welcome to the program Dev Patel. He's the creator of Chappie, don't you know? And he joins us on the show right now. Hey, Dev, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Pleasure to have you on. I was so shocked this week to realize that you are only 24 years old because I feel like you have been a big star on my TV and movie screens for like for years and years and years, but you must have got it started pretty young.
Oh, man. Thank you. I'm really flattered. Not really. I haven't been doing it for too long. My first film was Slumdog. I would have probably been about 17 or 18 doing that. But yeah, you know, it's been okay so far. I'm Yeah. Pretty blessed.
Yeah. Yeah, everything's been a hit, what he's saying.
It's been okay so far.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it doesn't work this way for most people in show business. They don't come out of the gate with a Slumdog Millionaire and then go on to do the things that you've been doing. So I think you're making some pretty good choices, Dave.
I'm lucky and blessed I am. Like, I'm really lucky to call, you know, this, have this dream and turn it into a career. I'm very blessed.
And this chappie looks, in many ways, I would imagine, among the most challenging things you've done, just in terms of the scope of the film and the action and all the other things that you kind of haven't had to do too much of, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty new to the sci-fi genre, but the great thing about this is Neil Blomkamp, our director, he's so immersive, and in a way, it's more on the independent side of these big, high-budget CGI films, you know, it's $50 million, and in this industry now, they're running to 300 and over. But, I was lucky I came to set and it treated it like a drama. The lead is this robot called Chappie, played by Charlton Copley, who is the lead in District 9, Neil's first film. And, you kind of have a lot to act opposite. It's not like I'm in a room with a big green screen and a tennis ball. So I was really lucky.
I love, as I mentioned when I brought you on, I love the idea of artificial intelligence. And somebody, it might be Sigourney Weaver, in the trailer for Chappie says that could be the end of civilization once robots could start thinking. Did you guys have a lot of conversations about that topic on set and making this movie?
Yeah, like I'm so bad with technology. Like I still have, I have an old iPhone they no longer manufacture. So this was all new to me. The irony is I'm playing this kind of weapons genius, but... You know, machines are getting so much better, they're getting smaller, you know, and it definitely, in the film, my character believes it's going to be the next step in evolution, you know, but it's quite a scary thought because they're going to be able to access so much more than any human can ever hold, you know, so yeah.
It's amazing, even in the trailer you go, I think that is a real person, I think Chappie's real.
Yeah, it's quite a quirky concoction by Charlton, but he's this kind of gangster, childlike robot with a South African Cape Flats accent who, you know, is trying to find his soul and his what is humanity. But it's the most unique kind of robot you're going to see on TV, that's for sure.
Talking to Dev Patel here on the Kevin Bean Show about the film Chappie that you've been hearing a lot about. It finally is available for us to see in theaters everywhere today. I want to ask you about a couple of other cast members. What have you done to Hugh Jackman's hair? I mean, how do you take the sexiest man alive and give him the Mo Howard haircut? What's happening?
You know what? It was just so that he wouldn't completely eclipse every other male. You know, I'll give them a chance and grow this mullet. But no, it's pretty funny. He came on and the film is as much as it's a drama and a sci-fi, there's a kind of a lot of satire in it and comedy. So he's got this mullet and these kind of very Steve Irwin kind of Steve Irwinisms. You know, these khaki trousers and his T-shirt tucked in. And but he plays the villain in the film, so he spends most of it beating me up pretty bad.
He spends most of the movie beating you up.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, my money's on Hugh Jackman in that fight, Dan.
I think so. Except for I've got a titanium robot on my side, which helps.
Yeah, that's true. And I also wanted to ask you about Di Antwoord.
Yep.
What bizarre and strange casting. Talk about them for folks who maybe aren't familiar with them as a musical act.
They're this bonkers South African rap rave group, is how you would call them, that come from South Africa. Ninja and Yolandi are their names, and they play themselves in the movie. They play these gangsters that kidnap me and my robot and try to use it for their own, you know, to rob banks and do drug deals and things like that. And it's quite funny. There's so many funny scenes. But, you know, it's a really interesting experience coming to set because we're playing characters and they're coming on as themselves and reacting as themselves. So... It was a truly unique mashup, you know?
You describe them as the most gangster vegans you've ever come across.
yeah, they're both vegans. I don't know if they still are now, but, you know, they're a walking juxtaposition, you know?
Right.
Have they ever done any acting before, Dev?
Who, me or them?
You have.
Oh, sorry. Ninja, I think, directs all his own music videos, and Yolandi is always the muse in most of them. They're quite versed, you know. I would call them performance artists more than anything in a way. So yeah.
Yeah, you need to look up Di Antwoord if you haven't seen any of that yet. It's bizarre. It's truly weird.
Their music is more of an art project than it is just straight songs, that's for sure. You know, it's so funny. I'm just thinking back to what you said, Dev, about how you're not a supercomputer literate person. You know, you talked about your ancient iPhone, and here you are playing this role in the movie. So all those years on the newsroom when you were spouting all that IT stuff, that must have been so hard for you to memorize.
Oh, man, it was a nightmare. Like, coming on and in the read-throughs, I was always the baffled guy. You know, everything was flying over my head, and I'm coming on, and I used to call it information loading or dumping, and it's just, it's intense. But, you know, it was definitely, and, you know, I think I was talking about MySpace at one of the Q&As on Newsroom, and everyone started laughing. I didn't realize that it was kind of derelict now. Is it MySpace or Facebook or one of those things? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Sorkin usually keeps the dialogue pretty clear and concise, too.
Yes,
so
he
that
does.
Helps.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I know we're almost out of time. I know you got to go. But since we have you on the phone, let's give a quick nod to your other film that's opening up this weekend. A completely different audience, I imagine, for the second best exotic Marigold Hotel. That one you got to film back home in India, right?
Yeah. We went back, same crew, same cast, except for the addition of Richard Gere. Just when I was kind of getting used to these amazing actors, they throw in another superstar and stress me out again, but it was cool, man. Richard's so cool, and you know, we're back with Maggie Smith and Bill Nighy, and just having a blast, really.
All right, let's say that I have time for one movie this weekend.
Don't make him do that.
Chappie Marigold.
I don't know. I can't.
Can't do it. It's like picking your. All right, I got it.
Well, Dev, as we said when we brought you on, man, you have a great career so far. You're making such great choices. I love the people that you get to work with, and it seems like you're having such a good time. We wish you nothing but continued success. Please come back anytime and see us, okay?
Thank you so much, guys, man. I'm very blessed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dev. Eddie Ife showed up 4 seconds ago.
4 seconds.
What's going on, man? What's your morning been like?
You okay?
You've been here 25 times before. You know how long it takes.
I thought it was seven. I don't know. I'm losing it. I've got a baby at home. I've got a bus. I drove the bus here.
You drove the bus?
Did you really? I drove.
You brought the Bingo bus?
I
drove, in our parking lot right now?
The Bingo bus is in the parking lot. I should not be allowed to drive it.
Yeah. You shouldn't be allowed to drive, but for people that don't know the bus, explain it.
My wife kicked my podcast out of my house, so I bought a short school bus because the people that work for me are special. And we refurbed a school bus. We put Kickstarter. We put like about $80,000 into this school bus.
$80,000?
Yeah. Yeah.
To build a studio in it, right?
Yeah, there's a studio in it, but it looks like we spent about $8.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's good.
But on the outside,
good return on your investment right there.
The outside looks terrible.
Right.
But the inside is phenomenal.
You can't break off like 5,000 of that 80 for a paint job or something?
Well, the paint
job,
we weren't allowed to have it yellow. It's illegal.
Oh.
And I drew 10 days after, the loss of 10 days after, I had to paint it not yellow.
No kidding.
And so for 10 days, I drove around and it's amazing how much of a pedophile you feel like just driving a school bus around. Just randomly down through Santa Monica, like honking at girls on bikes. Hey, yeah. What's up? I got a bus.
Is it tough to drive? I mean, I can't imagine driving a bus through the city streets of Los Angeles. That would terrify me.
We were shooting yesterday. Like, we're doing, you know, we're making a pilot for the show, and we were shooting, and we had drones and everything, and Jason, who is on my show all the time, who you guys have seen in his tuxedo,
yes.
He almost wrecked it about 4 times, and yeah. It's really hard to drive.
I imagine,
and you don't need a license. You just any license,
really.
If you have a car license, you can drive a bus.
Yeah, it's a short bus. So, but I'm not even good in a car, so it's tough.
Have you ever had to make like U-turns and stuff and go, nope, can't make it in this bus?
We were in like the canyons of Malibu doing like 3-point turns. Like maybe like go up and do it again. Do it again.
So Eddie, what do you mean you're making a pilot?
We're trying to make a TV show out of it. And you know, we're talking with some important people right now that might maybe make a TV show out of it.
They're going to be impressed with how reliable you are with your early appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
You know what? It's a different thing driving from it's like I always estimate my time.
Right.
The bus doesn't start and like rev up and just pull out of the driveway.
Right. But that's not a surprise to you, is it? It's your bus.
I thought it would. It's the first time I drove it. Today
ever?
Was a day.
Yeah.
I let Jason drive it all the time.
And that's a terrible idea then.
Yeah. I thought it would be like I'm driving down the PCH in it, you know, honking at everyone. It took forever.
That's hilarious. Yeah. All right. Eddie Ift is here. Of course, one of our favorite comedians. We want to talk about a lot of things, Eddie, since the last time we saw, including April Foolishness, which tickets go on sale today at noon. Can't wait to get your thoughts on that. But you have a big event happening this Sunday. I want to make sure for folks who can't stick around. Sunday night, you're going to be where with the Bingle Bus?
We're at the Improv on Melrose. We're revealing to the fans. We have guys flying in from Scotland, from Dubai, from all the fans that have donated.
Because you did Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, a lot of them are showing up to see the bus and see what I've done with their money.
So you're telling me that somebody in Dubai donated to the Kickstarter and is flying all the way here to see your short bus?
Yes, I think it's a sheik.
Sheik.
Or sheik or whatever they call them. I hope he shows up in one of those dish dashes or whatever they wear. That would be the greatest thing of all.
I donated, Eddie, but I'm going to wait till the bus comes to my house. I'm not going to where the bus is.
You know what? You think that's funny. There's a ferry, and I will get to your
house. That is the point of the bus, is to be able to take it wherever you want to take it.
He thinks I'm kidding.
That would be great. No, he knows you well enough that he probably knows you're not.
Doors open at 6, parties at 7 at 8. The Bingle Bus with Eddie Ift premiere at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are available just $15 at improv.com. More with Eddie when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Eddie Ift in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, he is going to be bringing out the Bingle Bus with some special guests this Sunday night at the Hollywood Improv. If you want to be there, tickets are on sale at improv.com. Speaking of tickets on sale, Mr. Ift, was it just last year that you headlined April Foolishness?
Yeah, I think it was.
It was last year, right?
You can't call it headlining when all those names are on it. You can call it the closer.
Yes.
Here's the thing, is that you were scared out of your mind.
I just know how it goes. And when you have, like, comedy has, like, an arc of it.
Right.
Where there's a warm-up, then there's, like, a good guy, and then there's, like, the guy that closes the show.
Right.
And you guys have... April Foolishness is like killer headliner, killer headliner, killer headliner,
right?
Killer. So people are exhausted from laughing.
I just remember you backstage going, "Oh, they're not gonna think I'm funny because they're tired."
Let me tell you how bad it is. I said to the you guys are like, "No, you're gonna do great." Everybody in the business that knows entertainment is going, "You're gonna do wonderful." The stagehands that have nothing to do with you,
right?
Were going to me. You're gonna die. They were the only honest ones there.
But you went out and killed. Who was right? We were right. You killed.
You were right because I had nothing to lose at that point.
I think you went too long. If I remember correctly, I was like, "How do we get Ift off the stage? I don't know what to do."
That happens. Well, every
it was great last year having you on the bill. I hope that you'll do it again in some future.
I would love to do it. I would love to do it. I would love to
sale.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say we'd just like to park the Bingle Bus outside this year.
Fantastic. That's a great idea.
Yeah, we would love to
April
come
4th.
Bingle Bus it.
Done. They don't like to use the word headline. Most comedians don't, but there was no question that Tenacious D is going to be the last act of the night.
Wow.
No one wants to follow the D, right?
No way ever.
Fluffy is on the bill, the great Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May this year, Jay Moore on the bill, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and our old friend Brad Williams, who took last year off. He's returning as well. House music by DJ Mike Realm. Tickets are on sale today at noon. Proceeds benefiting, once again, great local charities, Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. It really is one of the most fun entertainment events of the year in Los Angeles, isn't it, Eddie?
That is an amazing lineup. That is an incredible show. If people don't buy if you can only go to one comedy show this year, go to mine. Go to that. That's an incredible lineup.
It is funny to see the comedians go, "I don't want to go after that person, but I'll go before here, and I need to go there," and because it's just a little nervous.
I don't know who I'd want to go after on that show. I think I'd want to go first.
Well, we thank all the comedians each and every year for donating their time, because they do not get paid, and we are raising a lot of money for charity. So it will sell out. Get your tickets on sale today at noon through Ticketmaster. Details at KREC.com.
Just one more thing quick before we move on, and that is the house music by Mike Realm is awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of people end up leaving the night going, "Wow, that guy was great. You should let him do a set." I mean, he's really amazing. So make sure that you get there in plenty of time.
Can we go back to this bus thing?
Allie has questions.
I'm fascinated that you're taking your podcast on the road. It's got electricity. You've got everything in it. how often are you going to be on the road? Are you going to festivals? Where are you going? Are you bringing people with you? How's it going to work?
Well, Jason comes everywhere with me since I found him on the street.
Delightful.
He's a stray.
Yeah, he was like a stray.
Yeah.
And he drives and fills in comedy and plays video games. It's got a PlayStation in it.
Sweet.
So he plays PlayStation all day.
You got DirecTV?
We don't have DirecTV. That'd be nice. So
yeah,
DirecTV.
You got to get some TV going, man.
Wink, wink. let's hook it up. I took it into a car stereo place.
Right.
Well, I didn't. I went in there to get my stereo fixed in my car and started talking to the guys. It's an Allen Ed's on, like, over in Santa Monica on Wilshire. And this guy goes to me. I started telling him about it. And he had heard me on the show. And he goes, I want to do it. I want to do your bus. And I was like, you do car stereos. So it takes me back behind their shop and they have a customs place, like a custom car place.
Right.
And they're showing me Bentleys and Jaguars and all these, like, really fancy cars that they trick out, and they're incredible. And they're like, we can take care of your bus. And so they just started building, and I just wanted, like, a couch in the back of, like, a van. That's all I want. And now it's got, like, hardwood and marble.
Sweet.
And there's
stripper pole.
Yeah, I wanted it. But I don't know how to answer your question. I got a wife and a brand new baby.
Yeah.
I don't know how long or how many places I can go to.
Many as you can.
It's basically, I think I just figured I'm going to get kicked out at some point. So,
wait, this is an anticipation of your marriage breaking up?
Yes.
To live in a short bus?
Yes.
Okay.
I've made it livable.
He kickstarted his divorce.
He did.
Is what he did. That's phenomenal.
That's a first.
Kudos. Yeah. God bless
you. So, Eddie, your plan is to take it to Don Rickles' house and record him in the bus, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
that's the goal, right?
Absolutely. I found guests. Like, I used to try to bug Jimmy Kimmel to do the show all the time, and he would, like, I'd get an email back that would say something like Mailer Damon. And,
right.
And so it was like everybody's like, come to me, come to me, come to me. And, you can record it in my house or you can. And I was like, well, then I lose the whole concept of the show, which is like my guys, my little man cave that I was doing at my house in Venice.
Right.
So now I'm bringing my man cave to you.
That's awesome. So, how many times a week does the Talking S podcast go up?
Talking S goes up once a week.
Once a week, okay.
It used to be twice a week. It's once a week now, but we don't know what this show's going to be because there's a lot of interest from some networks, and it could be a TV show. So
okay.
we don't know what's going to happen.
That'd be awesome.
How old's the baby?
The baby's I don't remember.
Good.
Good.
Wow.
It's lovely. I'm just kidding. I'll be honest. She'll be 10 weeks tomorrow.
Your friend just held up his hands telling you how old, what is happening.
They told me yesterday when we were filming, because I'm like a stay-at-home dad, sort of, because I'm a comedian. They go, you're the only absentee stay-at-home dad in the world.
Well, because here's the thing. When I ask that question, most people, when you ask about their kid, they say, 21 and a half months. I mean, they know almost to the day how old their kids is because they're obsessed over it.
They're unoriginal.
I love the fact that you're like, I don't know, 2 months, 8 months, I'm not sure.
I love her, but I got to be honest. I think it's weird. People are like, my friend, the day she was born was like, oh, my God, wasn't it the most amazing day of your life? And I was like, what? I had a threesome once with two strippers from Spearmint Rhino. No.
That's still up there on the list?
I was like, you're the manager of Applebee's. Maybe for you, I'm a professional entertainer.
This relationship is not going to last. You're right.
Everybody,
that's a great idea.
Everybody said, like, didn't you just fall in love immediately? And I'm like, no, she was a stranger. Like, they handed me this baby.
You never know love until you have a kid.
I love her now, but when they handed her to me, I was like, who are you? And I had to grow to love her.
Yeah. You're small and smelly. What's going on here?
Yeah, these people that are like, it's amazing. No, it's not. Everybody's like, wasn't that day amazing? It was apocalyptic. They handed me this thing that could die at any minute.
Yeah.
And they're like, here you go. Good luck.
You're responsible now. Go.
Yeah. Like, the day I got a puppy was much better. The puppy ran around, licked my face, loved me, was like, hey, I can go to the bathroom on my own. You don't have to clean it up, just out in the yard. The baby was like, wah, I'm dying.
I actually really appreciate this honesty.
Yeah, and my wife has it too. She's like, hey, people need to warn people about this.
So 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Is your wife getting any sleep?
She is now because our in-laws are in town. And we just we hand them the baby like it's
a grenade. And when things get rough, you go out to the short bus in the driveway?
Well, I don't know if my neighbor's going to like me parking the short bus.
I was wondering about that.
Where you park it?
Yeah.
Do they have any say? Can they?
I don't know.
Park it in their driveway.
I'm thinking about that. Yeah. You know, I moved to like a bit of a celebrity neighborhood, and I'm waiting to see how they all. We have this weird little website that the whole neighborhood's on.
What?
Oh, it's so crazy.
Oh, where they keep you updated on, oh, there's a break in two streets away.
They fight.
Oh, sweet.
On the site. And you can't get on unless you live in the neighborhood because you have to get, like, approved and they have to know that you live there. But I'm trying to figure out how to troll it. So I know this old lady down the street that is, yeah, she could die. And I'm just trying to get her past when it happens.
You so you haven't been okayed? You're not?
So I can't do it as me.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I want to troll really badly because a coyote ate our neighbor's dog.
Yeah.
And my wife went on and said, hey, just want to warn everybody, I just watched a coyote eat the next-door neighbor's dog. Maybe you should keep your dogs in close and be careful because they're in the neighborhood. And some woman wrote back, that's nature. You moved into this neighborhood.
Oh, wow. And so, wait, your wife was just saying, just keep an eye on your dog. Yeah,
and maybe your kids, too, if they're out playing.
And so I was going to get like an AR-15 or something and just mow down some coyotes and walk over and be like, this is nature. No, I didn't do anything, but
that's weird.
I thought about maybe like a big dog or something, but nothing. I'm too scared.
Well, you've already driven down the property values plenty in that neighborhood before the short bus showed up, Eddie.
I feel like that. I feel so guilty every day.
You get lunch from everybody as you drive by?
There goes
Eddie.
Some neighbors walked up one day and they're like, hey, nice to meet you. All the neighbors talk. It's really creepy.
Right.
And so one of the neighbors came up and they go, so we know you're a comedian. And I went, yeah. They go, the neighbors were all talking about it. They were watching your YouTube videos. Like that. Nice. And I was like, okay.
Were they laughing?
No, they were kind of like, really offensive.
I love that they whisper it too.
I do too.
Yeah.
Like saying the word offensive in whisper makes it less offensive.
So I was like, hey, we're having an acid party tonight. Come on over.
How long before they kick you out of the neighborhood? Can they do that? Can they kick you out?
No. It's just I know that I'm already that guy.
So yeah, you are
that guy.
You're on your way out of your marriage. Just to recap.
Yeah.
You're on your way out of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's right. I think the bus was a great purchase, Eddie. Well, listen, if you leave now, you can get home by noon.
No, we got to go shoot more today. So we're filming illegally.
Good. Right?
So if you see the Bingo bus out there, police.
And if you want to see the Bingo bus for reals, you can do it this Sunday night. You know it'll be at the Hollywood Improv. Doors open at 6, party at 7, showtime 8 o'clock with Brody Stevens, Ian Edwards, who's very funny, by the way, and Joe DeRosa. Tickets available just $15 at improv.com, and it's eddieift.com. Eddie, congratulations on the baby, on the bus. We'll see you soon.
Thank
you,
guys.
Coming to Foolishness? We'd love to have you.
We would love to be there. And where are you doing it this year?
Is
it
Shrine?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We want our own handicapped parking spot.
No 10-week-old. Though, right? No 10-week-old.
The baby comes everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, she's my co-pilot.
Thanks, Eddie. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Got an hour of very fit, attractive people coming up between 8 and 9 here on the Kevin.
Thank you so much.
Not you, Ralph. No, no one in this room.
What the?
Kelly Rohrbach is going to be joining us just after 8 o'clock. She is the 2015 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Rookie of the Year, by the way. And the great Terry Crews next hour as well. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday. Here's Ralph.
Sad news. Boy, it's hard to be a Trekker these days without dealing with some sort of grief. First, Leonard Nimoy, of course, passed on February the 27th. Now, we get word that producer Harv Bennett has passed away. Harv Bennett was the producer that was tasked by Paramount Pictures to develop the second Star Trek movie after the first one was a financial hit, but a creative sort of... didn't satisfy a lot of people creatively, so he came up with an idea of bringing back one of the villains from the TV series, a gentleman named Khan.
Oh, that was the best one, right?
And developed Star Trek: The Wrath of Khan. It went on to produce the next three Star Trek films, The Search for Spock, The Voyage Home, and The Final Frontier. So without Harv Bennett's guidance, the Star Trek franchise may have never gotten on track and given us all those great films. He also was a producer for many years on television, developed The Mod Squad, which I love, The $6 Million Man, The Bionic Woman. He had a great track record, passed away at 84 at his home in Medford, Oregon this week. So life well lived, sir. Live long and prosper. Well, I guess that doesn't really apply anymore. Yeah. The whole living long and prosper. This powerhouse on Fox called Empire is just insane.
Yes, it is.
It's a phenomenon. I can't remember the last time a TV series has bettered its ratings each and every week it's been on. It gets bigger every week.
Yeah, that's rare.
Most highly anticipated series especially will break big, and the first couple episodes will do really well, and then it'll sort of settle into a comfortable average. But Empire had 14.2 million people watching this week.
World phenomena.
It's a phenomena.
It is.
Rodney's right.
He is right.
It is another high for the series in its eighth week. The latest episode is up 50% over the premiere episode. That's how much it's been growing in leaps and bounds. That's nuts.
That is crazy.
But good
for
them.
It's great. It's a great show, Ralph.
I have yet to see it.
It's wonderful.
I want to. I've got it all DVR, but I have not jumped on board yet. I do watch the trailers and the coming attractions and the spots on Fox, and it looks very fun.
Ralph, I had it all on TiVo as well, and I watched the pilot yesterday, and I'm so in.
Cookie will change your life.
I am building an empire. You, one of my sons, needs to step up to the empire.
It's so much more.
So good.
So good.
Movie news. Fifty Shades of Grey has now sold over half a billion dollars worth of tickets worldwide. Congratulations.
Half a billion.
Yeah. 150 mil here in North America. 352 million around the world outside of North America. This weekend, the film opens in Egypt. Several Muslim countries have already banned even a heavily edited version of 50 Shades of Grey. They removed all the sex scenes, but apparently there's still some content in the film that is offensive to Muslims. It shows women reading.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I'm kidding. That's a little joke about hardcore Muslims who don't want women going to school, you see. That's one of the things that don't like them being educated.
I've heard those stories, and it wasn't far-fetched to me that they wouldn't want to depict women reading on screen, honestly.
That's I know. It's funny because it's true. Hall & Oates don't have much of a sense of humor. Billboard.com's got a great story about the duo suing a cereal company in Brooklyn, New York, that dares to put out a granola product called Haulin' Oats. As if you were hauling something.
Wait, they're not still making music, are they?
Oh, hell yeah.
What? Weren't they in the 70s?
70s, 80s? 80s, 90s?
Yeah, really popular
five
in the
decades.
80s. Yeah, they don't really, they tour together. They don't really record new music together, but they are still very much an ongoing business concern.
They are, because they don't want any Hall & Oates being eaten by people in the morning. The duo claims that it's an infringement on its trademark, and they said they can't go for that.
Whoa.
Whoa. No can do, said their lawyer.
Did they hire, I have to ask Ralph, did they hire any private eyes to do some investigation?
Man.
By the way, Hall & Oates, criticize me if you want. I believe those records hold up and still sound great. I know they're 80s. I hear Out of Touch or one of those songs come up. I still listen to it. I still love it.
I don't ever hear those songs.
I have Hall & Oates' Greatest Hits CD in my car.
All right.
Really?
I really do.
I mean, Maneater, Kevin, you hear Maneater? You listen to Maneater, right?
Yeah. I remember it fondly, but
that's
That's
not one of my favorites. Maneater, I hit the skip button.
You Make My Dreams Come True? I mean, that's a great tune.
Kiss on My List?
Sarah Smile.
Sarah Smile, great
stuff.
They're
all stuff. Good.
Rich Girl.
Oh, Rich Girl.
Gone too far, but you know it don't matter in a way.
You know? Thank you, Cher.
I don't.
Hey,
yeah.
Cher's in the studio.
It's a good delivery. I just want to say, I mean, I know a lot of those, you know, those '80s bands. You know, they may just be like a punchline or something, but I think Hall & Oates had a career, and I think they still sound great.
Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. Ralph, big fan of the show. I've been living abroad in Italy for the past year, only able to hear you via podcast. Sometimes I fall behind in shows, only to catch up on weekends. Anyway, I was out to dinner with a dear friend, a surgeon here in Italy, who's forging new ground when it comes to transplants. He regaled us with an unbelievable radio interview he recently finished with some chuckleheads in Los Angeles. Would you believe one of them actually thought they were killing people in order to give them head transplants?
That's ridiculous.
I almost choked on my biscotti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I almost choked on my biscotti. I almost choked on my biscotti. I almost choked on my biscotti.
I want to thank, she was in Italy.
I want to thank listener Allie McKay for sending that one.
Ah.
So, silly woman.
So that's the one we've been waiting for?
That's the one we've been waiting for.
So not worth it.
Good times.
Asshole.
That's right.
If I had gotten it closer to that bit we did about the head transplants, it probably would have paid off a little better. But like I said, I've been snowed under. I'm getting to as many as I can as quickly as I can. But that was listener Allie McKay who sent that one in. Almost choked on her biscotti.
Yeah.
Because she was in Italy. She's in Italy. That's a popular cookie in Italy.
Right.
Can't find them here in the States. You've got to fly to Italy to get a biscotti.
She listens on the podcast.
Or a Starbucks. You have to go one of those two places. Today's celebrity birthday is Rob Reiner, director extraordinaire. How great is Princess Bride?
Oh, it's one of the best ever.
One of the greatest films ever, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Him. That's Rob.
Feel good, man.
Few good men. Boom. Right there.
Boom. Boom.
Spinal Tap. This is Spinal Tap.
Boom. Spinal Tap.
American President. Boom.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally. Boom. This is his body of
that's
work.
That's a career. Yeah.
68 years old today. Tom Arnold's 56. D.L. Hughley's 52. Connie Britton is 48 years old. Shaquille O'Neal celebrates 43 years on this planet. Tim Howard, soccer star and good friend of Kevin's. Do you crush him too? Are you crushing on him or is he just a pal?
Best goalkeeper in the world, dude.
There you go. 36 years old. Chris Thompson from Vampire Weekend. He's their drummer. He's 31. And Tyler, the Creator, is 24. I know we're running late. Do we have time for a little time?
We sort of don't.
We don't. All right. We'll get in the next hour. Next hour, we'll play a little of Bean's interview with Tyler, the Creator. You're not going to want to miss it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I knew we were going to enjoy Kelly Rohrbach as our guest. She's the 2015 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Rookie of the Year. But since she arrived in the studios, I haven't understood a word she has said. What the hell is going on down there with you ladies?
We are talking about the amazing television show that's one of her favorites. And if you love this show, it's because you're a specific portion of the population. What's the show, Kelly?
It is Summer Heights High.
Summer Heights High.
Yeah.
And when Angry Boys. When was that on?
Second. It's not the follow-up, but it's like the same idea, just done again.
It's an Australian mockumentary about high school, and one guy plays three characters. It is
all I know is that
so
you were
funny.
You were both going way out of your way to pat each other on the back. Oh, yeah, we're really smart
because
we love
it. You know it. Like, people who know it
know
what's
it.
Up.
Yeah. Okay.
So you guys are dumb. Is all
right.
What we're saying.
We'll take
Apparently
it.
Apparently so.
We'll take it. Well, Kelly, congratulations, first of all. Rookie of the Year. That's a
thank
big
you.
That's a big deal in the swimsuit
you.
Issue model deal, right? That's a good
think
question
so.
I just asked.
I don't even know what happens or what it means, but I'm psyched, but I don't think anything
and that's
happens.
That's a fan vote. That's where all the new models, they go up online and then people can vote on which one they like the best.
I think so, yes. I think that's a good one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you don't win anything? You don't get a prize, statue?
No, I'm not sure.
You should have
But
a
I haven't gotten anything yet.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
And it's been like a week.
You
so.
Need to ask some questions.
Yeah, I guess you know? So. Yeah, I need to start taking this more seriously. I need to start asserting my title.
That's right, so. Man.
I love the sash, though. The sash is good.
I would love a sash. Are you kidding? I've never had a sash. Right. Who doesn't want a sash?
Now, this is the first modeling you've done for Sports Illustrated?
This is the first modeling I've ever done, period, actually.
Really? This is where you started.
So I'd never done any modeling. I actually went to Georgetown and I studied theater there. And I came out here and I was doing a lot of acting. And then someone suggested that I should do something like this, like a modeling kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was your reaction
models
to that?
Do and stuff I mean, like obviously, that. I'm not sure. I didn't, I was like, okay, sure, I'll take the meeting. What are we doing? And then I met with Sports Illustrated and got along. The editor of it, MJ Day, is like so cool and awesome. So met with her and they were like,
you can be in it if you want. And I was like, that's cool.
That's not how it works.
The most laid back person ever.
No, you're supposed to go to tons of auditions and tons of meetings and send out, you know, thousands of resumes.
Well, I did that in the acting sphere. I've done that in the acting sphere. So,
but you fell into modeling. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I do like in your bio, it says years modeling and it's 2 months.
So the person that suggested it to you, had it never occurred to you, hey, look at this, I should go model? You never even thought about it before?
Not really, because I was an athlete growing up. I played golf. I was recruited to Georgetown to play golf.
Athlete and you played golf, both.
Well, how dare you, Bean? Golfing is a sport.
Take it easy. It's more like chess, I think.
She's my new best friend, you guys. Just leave her alone.
I'm with you on the chess. Nothing too strenuous, guys. Nothing too strenuous.
So you got –
If you can eat goldfish while doing it, you're playing the right
thing. They're doing the right thing?
That's right. That's right.
So you got a full ride or no? You just got a partial ride to golf there?
Yeah, well, I played my first year in golf season's fall and spring, so I played fall and spring of my first year and then fall of my second year. And then when I discovered acting my freshman year, they were like, go take a humanities, you know, they need this credit kind of thing.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, sure. And then
you live your life very casually.
Yeah, yeah, everything's like, all right,
yeah, whatever.
I'll do it.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll play golf, yeah.
That was not a casual thing. My dad was like, come on, like, you're going to play. You're going to appreciate it when you're older. And I was like, I hate this. It's so nerdy. No other girls play. These shorts are ugly.
Was there a time in your first year that you thought, all right, I'm on a path to be a professional golfer? That was the goal, is to try to make the circuit?
Not really, to be honest. I never
were
really
you great
to play.
I
was
good?
Yeah, I
you
was
were great.
I was good. I was never great. I was good. I was really good, but to become great tour player would require like me going to live in Florida for like 3 years and
no
making that my
that.
Life. And I just
you don't want to move to Florida.
Mm-mm.
For any
well,
reason.
I like Florida.
Yeah, that's too much
yeah,
to
like Florida.
Visit.
I,
sure.
I like warmth, but yeah, I knew that I was going to go and study something and that would be my career path, whatever I studied. And I had never tried acting. I thought I was going to study art history and went and walked into a class, loved it. Kept taking classes. Then I went to Lambda my junior year, which is a drama school in London, to sort of play catch up because all the kids have been doing it forever.
Right.
And I hadn't. And then when I graduated,
you know, whatever. Sports
LA.
Illustrated.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
You know,
your
whatever.
Life is such a surprise
love
to you.
Love it. Yeah. Want to go on Kevin and Bean? Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. All right. We've just scratched the surface, but we have to take a quick break. Our guest is Kelly Werbach. She is the 2015 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Rookie of the Year. She is an actress and model. On Twitter, @Kelly_Werbach. You are new to Twitter. Is this something you just set up for SI?
Yes.
Whatever.
Big fan of it? Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't even know how to do it.
They
like,
said maybe you should, and I said whatever.
It's not a circle button, but it's like two arrows that go around each other. Is that retweet? And then like, what's the difference between like and favorite? And like, there's a lot of buttons going on. There's all these things on my feed that I don't even know who these people are. I'm not following them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, it comes from their feed. And I'm like, too much.
Okay. We'll try to help you out in the break here. More with our guest, Kelly Werbach, when we return after this on K-Rock. Talk to actor Terry Crews coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And Cal Penn, our old friend Cal Penn, is back on a new TV show called Battle Creek. He joins us next hour. Right now, we are getting to know 2015 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Rookie of the Year actress and model Kelly Werbach in studio. So you're also on the TV with the Old Navy commercials, too. That's you, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
You seem surprised by
that.
Kelly, can you get a tiny
a
bit closer to the microphone?
A little closer. Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you. If you would. Thank you very much. So you're fairly new to all of this. You're a young person. And then all of a sudden you're doing a commercial with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
That was kind of cool.
What? She's a comedic genius to us because of Veep.
Yeah, no, she's amazing.
Veep
she's
is
amazing.
One of the funniest
because
shows.
Of all three of her series, she's always great.
She did this... I don't want to say exercise, but sort of an exercise where the director gave her this line, told her to say it like as many different ways as possible. And she must have said it 60 different ways with 60 different meanings, tones, expressions, gestures. It was crazy. It was like the line was like, hey, what's up? And she was like, hey, what's up? Hi, what's up? You know, like doing like crazy. It was pretty cool.
And when you're a young actress, you look at that and you go, oh, my God, I've got a lot to learn, right?
I was like, I could do it about five ways. Give it time.
What kind of acting do you want to do?
I'd like to do comedy to start out with. I mean, I do both right now, and I love drama. And
what are your favorite TV shows? What kind of thing would you like to do? Or movies?
Favorite TV show of all time, Arrested Development. Love awesome. That show.
Yes.
Love it. I like a lot of HBO stuff. I like HBO comedies because they're really nuanced and sophisticated but cool. I'm a big girls fan. Sorry, I am. I love
Me
it.
Too.
I love it.
You think Lena Dunham is pretty? I do.
Yeah, for sure. She's pretty because she's so smart.
You know? So smart in her confidence and everything. Yeah. I think she pops on the screen. I think she's amazing.
I feel like, and I'm no crazy feminist or anything, but I feel like so many people rail on her because of nudity and because they think they don't want to look at a woman that looks like Lena Dunham. And I think that's BS and ridiculous. I think she's very pretty and very sexy.
And I think she has an amazing energy. Her energy is what makes her sexy. She's like, I don't give an F, which is like sexy. So I think she's... That's just the hater voice is always louder than the liking voice, right?
Well, that's
I don't
right.
know how
that
to
is,
say that.
That is very that, true.
That's very true.
Very true.
What kind of reaction? Speaking of feminism, what kind of reactions do you get from women by your choice to be a model? Do you ever get any blowback from people who discount you because you're pretty, for instance, or you know, throw shade at you because you're in a swimsuit in a picture?
I don't really hang out with those kinds of people, so I wouldn't really know how they would go about voicing it. And I like don't really understand how to work the computer, so
sweet. A computer does open you up to a lot of that kind of stuff, so maybe you're best without it.
Here's the thing with you, and I think a lot of models got this. You had the big event in Nashville, mm-hmm. the swim town or whatever they called it. They set up basically a little city in the middle of Nashville where men lined up to get autographs, do things. But something I saw there that made me think they all get it and they're laughing all the way back to their hotel room. There were men lined up to play Connect Four with a model.
What?
Swear to God, this happened.
Connect Four.
Yes, pretty sneaky, sis. Yeah, yeah, lined up to play with this model and have a conversation.
Oh, that's sweet.
It's sad.
No,
in the best. No, it's sad in the best way.
Okay.
Because these men—that's what they want. They just want this interaction with this woman,
and they want to connect.
They want it for
connect
four.
See?
But you guys have to know, like. People that would ever say, like, oh, what do they have going for them? They're just beautiful. That's it. You're laughing the whole way because there's so much more.
Well, I never got to play Connect Four. I was
would
assigned
have changed
to that
everything
booth.
For
I
you.
Was at the Old Spice booth where I was handing out free deodorant. So that was a blast.
Guys, this
well, show that, this is glamorous.
That's not quite as fun, I don't think.
Working hard to bring home that bacon. No, the tents were amazing. We called it Swimville, and they were a blast. They had, like, live bands and all these different booths, and you could, like, photo booth and all that. It was like being at a carnival, kind of, like a meet-a-girl carnival, kind of.
meet-a-girl carnival.
I need to go to one of those.
When you do these appearances for Sports Illustrated where people line up to sign your magazines and they have 15 seconds with you, I bet a lot of times they're nervous. Do you have guys who try to ask you out in that situation?
No, I don't think so. No.
What do most of them talk to you about?
I'm just like, hey, what up? Where are you from? What are you doing? How old are you? What's going on? Stay cool.
No one has ever said stay cool to you.
No, that's cool. Why I used to write on my – or used to write. That's what I would write on my signing thing. I would just write stay cool.
Stay cool.
Okay.
All right.
Stay cool, Kelly. No, but you know what? It was a blast. Like, everyone who was there to have a good time. It was nothing serious. It was just everyone there to, you know.
What are the other models like? Is it sort of clicky? Or are they all just happy to be there?
No, they're great, to be honest. And all Sports Illustrated swim models are sort of different than models in that they're, you know, have a lot of personality and they're warm and, you know, it's more about the girl than it is about the look, I should say, but
for
in
a
this
new,
magazine.
For a new person coming in, they're welcoming and everybody's
totally,
happy to
totally.
Have you.
There's like five other or six other new girls, and then the girls who've done it in the years before. I mean, they're all so lovely. I was amazed. I hadn't had a lot of interaction with models because I haven't been doing this very long, so I was amazed. They were so cool, like so cool.
Were they still cool even when you won and became Rookie of the Year?
Hey,
and they
do you
were
want
all
to exchange
big top
numbers and get a coffee in New York. Okay, call me.
Well, that's nice. You're making friends.
Well, like, no, Rando. I'm like, sorry.
It seems like you got the world on a string right now, Kelly.
No, hardly, please. I'm like, what am I doing? Where am I? I've been wearing this T-shirt for 4 days because I'm living out of a suitcase. Okay. Don't get near me.
All right, we're going to try and teach you about Twitter, but we're going to have to do it off the air. But
I know. Oh, what did you do? You know what? I understand. Instagram, you can follow me on
okay,
Instagram.
Okay, there you go.
It's at Kelly Rohrbach, and my last name is R-O-H-R. B as in boy, A-C-H. How many times have I spelled that?
Probably a lot, I'm guessing.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, Kelly Rohrbach.
Congratulations on
Thanks.
The SI Rookie of the Year.
Thanks.
And any other acting coming up that you've already shot that hasn't aired yet that we'll see?
No, actually, no, not yet.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, good luck. Keep us posted, all right, Kelly?
Cool. All right, thanks so much, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for coming in.
If you weren't listening yesterday, maybe you missed the announcement that our friend Jay Moore has been added to the bill for Kevin Bean's April Foolishness 2015. Tickets are going on sale at noon today through Ticketmaster. That show is happening on Saturday, April the 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. It is the best night of comedy, I think, anywhere in town all year long. Eddie Eft was in here earlier today. He played last year's show, and he was just in awe of how many people we got this year who are generous enough to donate their time for some great causes. Tenacious D on the bill, Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself, Ralphie May, I mentioned Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. They're all going to be there, and you can too. Tickets going on sale today at noon with proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. That is going to be a fun night, you guys.
Yeah, we talked about this before, but so that all of the money could go to charity, they're all doing it for free, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
It is really cool.
I mean, all of these people could be making big bucks on Saturday night.
On a Saturday night? Yeah, giving up their Saturday night for us? Yeah, absolutely.
And people they're also asking if they have to be a street team member to buy tickets. Sometimes that's the way we do it. That's not the case with this. You just, today at noon, you go to Ticketmaster, you buy the tickets.
Everyone
cheap
is equal.
Seats, $25, $99. You can be in the party bus section. No actual bus as part of the party bus section.
Do we really legally have to say that?
Yes, we do.
No bus.
No.
There's no bus.
They don't want people to get, to think they're buying transportation with their ticket. You're not. But you do get VIP parking, get your own transportation, but VIP parking. You get the seats up close. You get the T-shirt. You get the cocktail party ahead of the show. You get to meet everybody on the Kevin and Bean show if you want. You're not required to, but you can. It's there for you. And you get the best seats in the house. So those tickets are only $99, by the way. And as I mentioned, all the way down to $25. All right, let's check in with Dave and find out where our guest is. I think we're trying to get Mr. Cruz on the phone here.
Is Terry Crews one of the most positive people that we've ever talked to?
He's insane. He's so talented and so funny and so unbelievably positive. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ellen. Now is his moment. I mean, he has been around for so long, but he is shining so bright right now. There's nothing that he isn't hosting, first of all. I'm pretty sure he hosts
everything. He does host
everything.
Yeah.
But it's his time.
And then Brooklyn Nine-Nine comes along, and everybody was like, oh, my God, he's hilarious. Yep. And we last time we had him in the studio, we were just – I mean, I felt like a loser. I just felt like a slacker, like I'd wasted my whole life. Like Terry Crews gets more done before noon each day than I get done in a year. Hey, Terry, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Good, good.
We are excited to talk to you. How have you been? How's your 2015 been treating you?
Oh, man, hustling. That's why I had to call in late today. I've just been scrambling to get to this call, so it's all good.
Well, we appreciate it. You are back with another episode of World's Funniest Fails. It's going to be tonight at 8 o'clock on Fox. You take such glee in watching these little kids hurt themselves. You bastard, Terry Crews.
Yeah, it's pretty funny, though.
No, but sometimes, I just imagine my own kids, and it really, really, it gets funnier. You know what I mean? They like to give you a little lift. They like to give you, they roll their eyes, and then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. I love it. I'm kidding. The big thing is, no one has failed more than me. Okay, no one has taken more hits to the groin. No one has jumped off more roofs and fallen and hurt themselves.
Well, you're making some bad life decisions.
Yeah, well, you know what? But first of all, I want to tell people, and I'm really a big. I want to say this: you can't play life too safe. I have to say, right now, everyone's playing things too safe. You have to be, once you get so comfortable and that you don't want to ever take a risk, that you don't ever want to do anything, nothing gets done. There's no breakthroughs are ever made. And for me, I always feel like you have to be able to take a big jump in your life. Now, I'm not saying risk at all, but there is a practice of little bitty risks that you have to take every day. And sometimes I look up to guys who really know how to go for it. Now, sometimes you don't do it because failure is necessary for success. And I believe that. That's the reason why people look at me and they go, you're successful, but I have failed so many times. And I realize that's what it takes to get there.
All right, but tell me the decision-making that went into hosting this show, because being an actor is very different from hosting a TV show where you're showing highlights of people failing. And the people who do it well make it look easy, but it isn't.
No, it isn't. And let me tell you, it was a big risk. And it was one of those things where, you know, I have to tell you, most, as an actor, you can get comfortable. You can get comfortable in playing a type. You can get comfortable in just doing the same things you've always done. And you can make a whole career out of it. I risked it all. I've been trying to kill my career for 15 years.
I like it. I like the plan.
It's like a zombie. It's like a zombie. It just keeps coming back.
This is the voice of Terry Crews. Terry is on the phone talking about World's Funniest Fails, which airs tonight at 8 on Fox. And, of course, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Sunday nights at 8:30, also on Fox. Terry, we talk about all the time, even when you're not on with us, about how you're such a great motivator and you're so inspirational. And you say that comes from failure. Is that kind of how, I mean, you had to be brave to go from being a professional athlete all those years in the NFL and then start from scratch once that career was over? I mean, I bet you failed at a lot of things before you ended up getting success after the NFL, right?
Let me tell you, my first job after I quit the NFL was sweeping floors. I'm telling you, sweeping floors in a factory. And let me tell you, it took me almost a year to get to that spot because I ran out of money. And my wife was like, honey, we need something. We got to get milk for the kids. What are you doing? And I was all in my ego. I was like, I'm a football player. I'm a star. But this is where past success really stumps your growth, you know what I mean? And I said, you know, she was like, honey, we need money. And one day I had to realize that no one else was going to save me. I had to really just say, wait a minute, I can actually change my situation just by doing something. And I went and got the first job that was offered, and I started sweeping floors, and I felt bad, I felt horrible. Then all of a sudden, middle of that day, I was like, wait a minute, I'm actually changing my situation. And let me tell you something, I realized just by working that job that I will never stop working. Like I said, now you just got to wake up, forget what you did in the past, and treat every day as if it's brand new. And that's what I did with Hosting Fails, Hosting Millionaire. I don't know what I'm going to do next, to be honest with you, but I have been blessed to be on a show like Brooklyn Nine-Nine that's so good that allows me to go out and try all these other things, and I'm going to keep going.
I got to tell you, no matter what we talk to you about, I feel like I am at some type of motivational camp.
Buying everything right. He's selling. Everything.
It doesn't matter what we talk to him about. It's like, okay, I'm in. Whatever you're doing, I want.
Agree.
You need to start a coach, Terry.
I'm not a motivational speaker, man. Well, I'm a motivational doer.
My job
is to show you what's possible. Now, see, so many people talk about it. And you know what? Because the thing is, people, you should do this, you should do that. You know, I can't tell you what you should do. Only you know what you should do. You know what I'm saying? You know deep in your heart what you should be doing. And my thing is, I want to show people, guess what? I'm still alive. I'm still here. It's all possible, man. I'm a little kid from Flint, Michigan, okay? I should be in jail. I'm an ex-football player, okay? I'm trying to tell you, I look at where I am and I go, my God, if I can do it, I know everybody can.
USA! USA!
Right?
USA!
Right?
USA!
Right?
USA!
Terry Crews for president or whatever he's running for, he's got my vote. It looks like a great show tonight. It's called World's Funniest Fails with some outstanding guests, by the way, on the panel, including Marilyn Ryskamp, who we love. We got Brian Posehn is on the show, Greg Proops. I mean, what a lineup. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's tonight at 8 on Fox and Brooklyn 99 airs Sunday nights. Terry, when are you going to write that book, man, so we can buy it and get all these words in front of us?
Well, I did already. I wrote a book. It came out last year. It's called Manhood.
And we loved it.
My favorite. Bean won't stop talking about it.
I am on Amazon.com right now, and I'm buying a copy. All right, Terry, you're the best, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on.
Love you guys.
Thank you, bud.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Our old friend Cal Penn is here joining us in studio right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
A spaceship door lands on his leg. A World War II plane crashes. Maybe Harrison Ford should stay out of flying machines. Maybe that's not his thing. The legendary actor and veteran pilot had to crash land his single-engine plane onto Penmar Golf Course yesterday afternoon at 2:25 p.m. He took off from Santa Monica Airport, and automatically he could tell something was wrong with the mechanics of the plane from 1942. Maybe that's why the plane had problems. You know what? I wouldn't drive a car from 1942 on the 405.
It looked like it was restored, though. I mean, it looked like a beautiful piece of machinery.
From 1942?
Yeah, well, there
you
was
were looking
that.
At paint, is what yeah, you were
that's
doing.
That's right. I had a fresh coat.
Good point.
It was a Ryan P-22 with two open cockpits, and he was tooling along there from Santa Monica Airport. Things went south quickly, and he had to put that baby down. The only open ground he could find was the Penmar Golf Course. Crashed in the eighth hole.
Did he make par?
Luckily, he was on a golf course. That means the two doctors were there on the scene when he crashed. Were able to treat him immediately.
File.
And
sorry.
Why am I going to file?
To be.
Oh, okay. That was a delayed
file. Did he make par?
And he got to the hospital. I'm kind of proud of us here at K-Rock. A lot of people are reporting on this story. TMZ broke the story. But we have the tape of Harrison Ford talking to the tower at Santa Monica Airport.
Oh, awesome.
This is Harrison Ford. He has already told the tower at this point in the tape that he has had some mechanical difficulty, and they're going back and forth between him in the cockpit and them in the tower. And you can hear the crash in the background at the very tail end if you listen carefully. Here is the actual tape.
Bravo Tango 7-9er, this is Santa Monica Airport. We have a report that you are experiencing some mechanical difficulty. Over.
Why are they telling this going on?
I'm sorry, we didn't copy that. Could you repeat, please? Over. I repeat, this is Santa Monica Airport. We understand you're having some technical difficulty. Can you please speak up and report on what's happening? Over. Okay, you're going to need to put that plane down. Can you find any open area near you? Over. What was that? Over. Hey, listen, you... I can't understand what the you're saying. Now, speak up or I don't...
Wow, that's unfortunate.
Exciting,
wow.
Exciting
more
tape.
Assistance. Yeah,
he really sounds rattled there.
You'd think he'd perk up a little in that situation.
I've never heard him so upset.
So. Just screaming his head off.
Crazy, screaming.
Still in time though for the heavy sighs, which I appreciate.
Well, it must be frustrating up there annoying. In the air when you're driving a World War II plane around. Hey, celebrity birthdays today. Rob Reiner, 68 years old today. I couldn't be a bigger fan of that gentleman. Not only is he a great director, but people forget he was on one of the best sitcoms in the history of the television, All in the Family. Great actor.
Has he ever done anything bad?
A great social activist. I mean, he started that First Five program, you know, for kids under the age of five here in the state of California. That was all his doing. He's done a lot of good for this state.
Just no missteps ever?
Really? They should run for office. Why don't we elect Rob Reiner for governor? Why doesn't he run or something?
I don't know.
Because we never elect an actor as governor. That's stupid.
I'm sorry, my bad. What were we thinking? 68 years old today. Tom Arnold's 56. D.L. Hughley is 52. Connie Britton, lovely and talented actress from Nashville. She is 48 years old. Shaquille O'Neal's 43. Tim Howard, legendary soccer goalie, 36 years old. Chris Thompson from Vampire Weekend, he turns 31. And Tyler, the Creator, is 24 years old today. Oh, you know what I forgot to do?
Oh, yeah, something to give
away. I got something to give away.
Yeah.
Real quickly, if you want to see the premiere of The Gunman, the new Sean Penn film with Idris Elba and Javier Bardem, I've got passes to the premiere, which happens on March 12th at the Regal Cinemas LA Live.
give me a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Let's see. First five callers who get through with that number, we get a pair of passes to see the premiere of The Gunman, the new Sean Penn film where he plays a special forces officer, soldier rather.
Looks great.
On the Run. Does look great. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. So call now if you'd like to go see that. But back to Tyler, the Creator, who's 24 years old today. Kevin, I don't think you were here.
I was on vacation.
When Tyler, the Creator, came in and sat in for an in-depth interview with my man Bean. It was like watching Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes back in the prime of that show. Just getting to the heart of the matter and getting an interviewee to open up and share. It was very exciting times.
What's your job like when you wake up in the morning?
Usually I wake up in the morning, eat some cereal, get the computer, I don't really come up with ideas. I just sit around and they come to me, you know?
Yeah. He sits around and his ideas come to him.
That happened.
That happened.
I'd buy his book.
That's a good time. Let's find out if he's written one first, though, shall we? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with me.
One of our favorite guests in studio with us right now, one of the smartest guys we know, and he's best known for House and How I Met Your Mother, the Harold and Kumar movies, and the new series called Battle Creek, which just debuted this season on CBS. Cal Penn steps in here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Cal.
Good morning.
How you been, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Last time I think you were in, you were talking about some sort of like science challenge show or something
yes,
like that. You were doing something too. That was one of your "I'm doing something too smart for Kevin and Bean" visits. So I'm glad you're back down to our level doing TV we can watch.
Me too. It's the more fun TV.
How did you get involved with Battle Creek?
Battle Creek was I read the script a season and a half ago in pilot season, and it was the funniest thing that I'd read. It's an hour long cop show, but there's a lot of humor to it, and it's Vince Gilligan and David Shore who created it together. So
Hacks, just those two guys.
Just those two guys.
Yeah,
and I, you know, by my manager, the way these things work is you're supposed to, you know, go through the process of how these things come together, and I just called him and I said I'm going to go ahead and email David Shore. Because, you know, we worked on House together, and I just want to tell him how amazing I think the script is, and I'm going to tell him I want to be in it.
All right.
And they were like, no, you shouldn't do that. That's, you know, there's a whole process. And I was like, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the process. So, I mean, there was a process after that, but I was like, yeah, what's he going to say? He's either going to say, great idea, let's move forward with a process, or he's going to say no. And luckily, not only did he say yes, but what an incredible cast he put together. I love these guys.
Yeah, it's amazing.
No, he really – by the way, I nothing wrong with taking advantage of the fact that you already had a personal relationship with the guy. Look, this is a show that I'm sure a lot of actors wanted to be on, but if you've got an in, you might as well use it, right?
Agents don't like to be cut out of things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll handle this the proper way through channels.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to pick up the phone.
You're right about the cast. Josh Duhamel, by the way, is way too good looking to be a cop, and I love the fact that this is what I told Dean when he was in a couple weeks ago talking about the show. I said, I love the fact that you don't pretend that he looks like a normal person. Like on the show, that's one of the things that everybody makes fun of him for is everybody's just slack jawed around him when he walks in a room.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, you're too handsome to even be on a cop show. So we're just going to have to call you out on that.
Now, there was no, I understand, you know, the work is everything. You're an actor. You want to be on quality projects. But wasn't there a part of you that says, do I want to get involved in another hour-long drama, knowing how much work that is?
I guess that translates in your head into, do I really want to have job stability again? Mm. Yes.
Okay.
But I think, you know, the hour-long thing, yes, it's in your head going. One of the big frustrations on House was, and this is a luxurious frustration to have, was I wanted, you know, I missed doing comedy. And I loved playing a doctor, and I loved being serious, but this show has both. So that was kind of a no-brainer, where every single page there's a lot of humor. It's a lot of subtle humor. So I kind of loved it. I kind of thought I don't have to do an hour-long drama and then try and find something during hiatus that's funny.
You ever been a cop before?
No, this is awesome. I love it.
Really?
Because when you're a kid, like, all right, I want to be a firefighter, a cop, a pilot, an astronaut.
Right.
Like, I get to play cops and robbers every day. That's my job.
How did you learn to be a cop? You hang out?
I did, actually.
Somebody on set? What's up?
There is somebody on set, but there's a buddy of mine here in L.A., a guy named Adam Carell, is a fantastic actor, and through his friends, he grew up in Michigan, ended up a friend of a friend was a real Battle Creek cop. So ended up calling him and I said, hey man, there's this show coming up. Can I come up there and just follow you guys around for a while? And they were so open to it.
Your agent literally has nothing to do.
No, it's true.
You called the guy and said, I want to work with you. What's happening?
And then I called the real cop and said, can I come up there? No, you know, they it was just cool to see, you know, I don't know how law enforcement works. I'm an idiot when it comes to that kind of stuff. So really spending time with these guys, not just with the more crazy stuff they do, like pulling people over or raiding houses, which was awesome to see.
Right.
But really the even the boring parts of police work, like all the paperwork they have to do, the camaraderie, the, you know.
So much paperwork, right?
So much paperwork and the R-rated jokes that can be made
sure.
during paperwork. That, you know, it's any other office, just wildly inappropriate things that friends say to each other. Then you get that feeling that when you go and make a TV show about it, you can actually insert a lot of that stuff that takes it off the page.
I would have thought that you would call somebody who was a cop that you had a connection with, but for some reason I wouldn't have thought you would go to Battle Creek to have that cop train you. That's...
Yeah, I mean, the show, we're obviously a highly fictionalized version, but I thought if it's loosely based, at least on a real town, why not try and go to that town and see if there's stuff that you can pick up that's specific? I mean,
did you go out on calls with the guy?
Why is it set in Battle Creek, Michigan? Sorry.
Why?
Yeah.
My understanding is that Vince just liked the name Battle Creek and picked it.
All right.
Yeah.
It's a good title for a show.
Yeah.
Did you go out with the cop and did anyone say, hey, that's, aren't you?
I was worried about this. I said to them, aren't people just going to be weirded out, especially if you're pulling people over for something like, you know, you smell weed.
Yeah, that's...
And then I roll up.
They're like, oh, this is a dream. Like, this is awesome.
Isn't this wrong? And they said, you know, what chances are when people get pulled over, you know, they're so nervous that we're just going to try and, you know, be professional, and they're not really going to notice anything. And they were right. They didn't really, you know.
No one did?
Nobody did.
Oh,
at least
so
as far
weird.
As I know.
That'd be
I don't
so
think
weird.
He was wearing, like, a Hawaiian shirt.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right, right. And I was not. Okay. I was bundled up.
Cal, I have learned enough from watching police officers on TV to know that they are made from way different and better stuff than I am. I could never in a million years be as cool as those guys are and do that job and make those
you
kinds
cool
of
cool under pressure?
Yeah, and make those kinds of life or death decisions that they have to make and keep all of those rules in mind and navigate the public relations waters of the job and everything else. It just seems like the most pressure for the least money of almost any job in America I can think of.
Yeah, it was really – I mean, it was humbling to be around those guys, right, and see. And even that department, a small city like Battle Creek in the Midwest, very different than I think a lot of the narrative that we've been reading about recently. Like
yeah.
that Ferguson report was horrifying to read. It was cool to see a police department operate much differently than I think the narrative that's out there, which was very refreshing because if you kind of talk to these guys and see the complexity of, you know, just like everybody else, they go out for beers after work. But, yeah, you're being shot at maybe on a daily
yeah,
basis.
That seems...
How do you – like you said, for very little money, and it's intense. It's an intensity that certainly, you know, you make a Hollywood TV show about it, and you kind of walk in there, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm just some weird actor who's watching these guys who
right.
put their lives on the line. It's insane.
Yeah, humbling is the best word to describe it. The
yeah.
show is called Battle Creek. It is new this series. It airs Sunday nights at 10 on CBS. It just premiered last Sunday. How'd you do, by the way? Pretty good numbers, right?
Yeah, decent numbers. You know, and we obviously always hope they continue to increase. But
it's a great show.
It's a fun show. It's Sunday night. It was unlike a lot of other things I've done. We actually had good reviews.
That's a plus. That was a strange experience for you.
That was strange for me. Usually our reviews tank, but then the fans find it, and that's the redeeming quality. And in this case, I'm like, wow, reviewers found it interesting. This is good.
Sunday night at 10 on CBS. More with our friend Cal Penn when we return right after this on K-Rock. We spent that song talking to Cal Penn, trying to keep him out of jail.
That's what we were talking
about to make some very poor decisions.
Yeah.
Cal is here talking about, among other things, his new series that is on CBS. It is very funny, very entertaining. It is called Battle Creek. It airs Sunday nights at 10. Hey, are you still hanging out with your friend Barry? Is that still happening? Your friend Barry from Washington, D.C.? Do you still talk to him, Cal?
I do. I try to help out, you know, from time to time as much as possible. And I still have a bunch of friends in D.C. and family and all that. So I like
what a weird dual life you have.
It's weird when I step outside to think about it. But I think we talked about this last time. The cool thing about working in D.C. was realizing that I had some attention just because I was on a show and left, you know, to work in government. But there's so many people who are like, you know, engineers and doctors and lawyers and academics that take a year or 4 years off and do this kind of thing. And I think that's awesome. There are such few countries in the world where people can do that. I think that's awesome.
There should be more people that do that and fewer lifelong politicians.
I agree. I think there are a lot of people that do that. We just don't hear about it a lot because it doesn't make you know, particularly interesting TV.
Did you go to India with the president recently?
I did.
Dude.
So it was you and the president.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the best trip ever.
You guys were just broing down. And...
Well, I mean, I wouldn't. I was broing down. He actually had real work to do because he's the leader of the free world.
Did you get to go on Air Force One to India?
I did. And
no,
what is happening?
That's so awesome.
It's not awesome. It was
you got to ride on Air Force One to India with the president.
I should have brought a photo of I've gone to India before to visit family and stuff. The last time I went on my own, I was in a middle seat for the 16 and a half hours with a neck pillow.
Right.
I should have brought that photo to show you guys with the contrast of the ones I tweeted from.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
How many people can fit on Air Force One? I'm not trying to hijack the interview to talk about this, but I'm just so fascinated.
No, it's fine. I asked all these questions as soon as we got on the plane. I think it's about 50.
50. Wow.
That might be right. At some point, I mean, the president and his people or the family, whoever's traveling with them, they obviously have their private quarters. But at some point, do they kind of come back out to the Gen Pop and just hang out for the flight?
Yeah. Often. And there are actually two planes that go because there's so many staff, support staff. And, you know, what did they do? They did
Secret Service and all
Secret
that.
Secret Service. They did a nuclear deal. So there's a whole nuclear contingent of people who come, and environmental deal, environmental advisors.
Nuclear.
I'm sorry. That's my bad. Doesn't Jeb pronounce it the same way or mispronounce it the same?
I don't know.
Like that?
Anyway, I think so, yes.
Anyway, it's quite a feat to see, you know, when the president travels overseas, who goes with him and how that whole thing works. It's fascinating.
So who do you hang out with on Air Force One when you're flying?
There are a lot. Here's the weird thing. Because I joined the campaign in 07 when the president was down 40 points in the polls, a lot of the people that you work with that are young at that point, you know, they're now in mid to senior level positions at the White House. So it's odd that a lot of the people who you know very well are in these decision making arenas. And they're also the people who are on the plane. So it's
odd to me that you were on Air Force One. I'm just going to put that out there.
Me too. Are you kidding? I never in a million years thought I'd be having a chance to do that.
How did they contact you? Barack call you?
Not personally, but through a friend.
His agent.
That's right. His agent, who does a lot of great work for him. It's, you know, a lot of times on these foreign trips, they take, in addition to the political folks, they take artists or athletes or people who, particularly if it's a foreign country where you have an American whose, you know, ancestry is from that place. And there's kind of a long history of presidents doing that. So it wasn't totally random, I guess, since my parents are from India. But it was still awesome, man. I mean, to have a chance to do that.
When you see the president on the plane... Do you guys shake hands, or do you high five, or do you hug? What's that greeting like?
You have a secret handshake?
It's a secret. I would have to kill you if I showed you the handshake. I guess it's a fist bump. It's a fist bump? Yeah, fist bump.
And then did you have to go? You got to see your family while you were back in India, but did you have to go to whatever the public events were or the meetings that the president was involved in while he was there too? Were you part of that?
There were some, yeah. There's like a delegation or contingent of people for things like, there's a state dinner that the prime minister had for the president, so I had the chance to go to that. I did obviously was not privy to the nuclear energy negotiation meeting.
Why? You don't have the codes?
Why not?
No, I don't know. Actually, it's funny. You talk about the codes. I sat next to the guy who carries the nuclear football on
really?
The way back.
Really?
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. But seeing things like that, right? There's an environmental meeting, things like that you're not necessarily in, but then other cultural components like community meetings that you're part of, or there was a Republic Day parade that you sit with other artists and CEOs and people from both countries, and that kind of thing is really interesting because you get to see and hear from your counterparts in other countries.
Maybe just because I'm childish, but I think it would be awesome to be on the phone and go, you know what? I'm sorry, just a minute, I have to talk to the president.
Even if the president wasn't on the other line yet?
Yep. Just to do that?
Just to do it. Did you do it around family or friends when you were there?
I did call. There's a phone on the plane, and I did call a college buddy of mine. And apparently when you call, the operator says you have a call from Air Force One. And he told me this later. He said, just so you know, when I got that call, I stood up. Like I was in my boxers at home, but I stood up when I heard that. I don't know why.
I don't want that call. That means bad things for me.
That is amazing.
That's crazy.
All right. Before we move on, do you think you'll ever go back to public service? Would that always be a part of your life? Or is it an experience you're glad you had and now you're back to your real world?
Probably a little bit of both. I mean, I never thought I would work in politics per se. I always viewed public service as a little bit different, volunteering or doing something on the side. I'm still an independent independent politically, so it's not like I have a stake in the 2016 election or anything.
Any desire to run for anything at some point?
Not really, but I know how that sounds. You're always supposed
to vote for you.
Really?
Yeah, I would have vote for anything you want.
Yep.
Yes.
I'd vote for you.
All right, you got one.
You got one vote. That's how it starts,
one
man.
One vote is how it starts.
That's how it starts.
No, I don't know. I loved having the chance to do that. I continue to support the president. I love what he's doing. I also love my first love, which is acting and performing. So I feel really blessed that I had the chance to go and do that and then come back and do this.
Cal Penn is on a show called Battle Creek. We've been talking about Sunday nights at 10 on CBS. Let's go ahead and play that clip here, Kevin. And then before we say goodbye to Cal, I want to talk about his other TV show that's debuting later in the month. You want to set this one up for us, one of you guys?
Yeah. Cal, you talk about your headaches and the cure?
Yeah, sure. So what we learned, one of the things about TV is you learn things as the season progresses about your character. And in the second episode airing on Sunday, we found out Font, my character, has chronic migraines. And shockingly, no medicine seems to work for him except for certain things that have recently been legalized in states like California and Michigan.
So you went, really? Episode two, we're going with medical marijuana?
I saw this script, really? And I went into David Shore's office, and I said, David, really? Like, not even season three. We're just dropping this
second
now.
Second episode going right to the popular. Yeah. All right, so you go, you try to buy, then you go back to your boss?
Yeah, so basically we try to, you know, I try to, my character tries to buy this as just a personal matter, and it turns out that the guy at the weed store sells me fake weed. So then I go to my boss, and I want to bust this guy, and the boss basically is confused why I want to bust somebody for not selling drugs.
I use medical marijuana to help with my migraines. It's always worked in the past, but yesterday it didn't help. I'm convinced that the new guy at the dispensary is selling fake stuff.
So you want to arrest someone for not selling drugs?
Yes, prescription drugs. This is no different than if somebody needed heart medication and the pharmacist gave them sugar pills, or if a diabetic was given water instead of insulin.
Yeah, I get it. You need your pot.
That is from this episode, this Sunday's episode of Battle Creek, airing at 10 on CBS. That sounds very funny. All right, before we say goodbye, Mr. Penn, The Big Picture, debuting on the National Geographic Channel at the end of this month on March 30th. This sounds like a fascinating series. Just the 30-second pitch before we get out of here.
Yeah, sure. This was fun. It's kind of based on the idea of, you know, when you go on BuzzFeed or Facebook and you see a map of the United States and it's shaded in weird colors based on where people eat the most pizza or what movies we watch. So we made a show essentially about this, and there are three human interest segments, sort of like mini documentaries in each episode, tackling crazy weird statistics that we found. So where people are having the most sex, crime, what kind of foods they're eating. So it's sort of like a dorky show meets Travel Channel kind of thing.
That sounds like fun, dude.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I'm excited for it to air.
Great to see you again. Always fun to have you come by. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
I'm sorry. I missed the meeting. Are we doing the thing here now, or are we doing the thing later?
Well, he's doing the thing first, and then we're doing our thing later.
What thing are you talking about? Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Give me your things.
We have the
things.
We have the thing too.
But then you think, well, you do your thing.
We'll do your thing.
I got a thing.
You do your thing first.
You go first, though.
We should have a meeting.
Paley Fest 2015. It's happening March the 6th. That's today.
Yay!
Through March the 15th. It's my favorite time of year. This is when the Paley Center for Media, formerly known as the Museum of Television and Radio, they get together the casts and creative teams of some of your favorite TV shows. And they spend an evening with them, and you get to attend in a very small venue, and you can even participate. They have Q&As, and if you're a TV geek like myself, there's no better event. This is all happening at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland this year. The cast and creative teams of such shows as Homeland, Comedy Central, the entire network, Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Arrow and Flash, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story, and more will be paid tribute this year. If you'd like to attend, these things almost always sell out, so I'm glad to be working with them this year and give away some tickets. I've got tickets for Scandal. You want to see Scandal?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You can't go, B.
It's happening on March the 8th. I've got one pair of tickets for a lucky Scandal fan. Call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 8, since it's happening on March the 8th, which would be this Sunday. If you'd like to see an evening with Scandal, give me a call now. And do yourself a favor, if you're a TV fan, go to PaleyCenter.org and become a member, because they've got great events all year long, not just this Paley Fest, but they do screenings and they do premieres, and you can use the facilities there. They've got an amazing library of TV shows. You can see almost anything you want to see there. I just went recently to see
I listened to Martin Short's autobiography on tape. I listened to it in the car, right? And he talks about a show that he did early in his career, which was sort of a forerunner for Second City TV, with the great comedian David Steinberg. It was a David Steinberg show. And the cast was Martin Short, Andrea Martin, John Candy. I mean, just everybody who ended up being on SCTV. That's available at the museum. You can see that. It's the only place I know where you can find it. It's not online anywhere. So if you're a fan of TV, you want to check out paleycenter.org. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Of course, the big story was, did you get like a little scared when, like I did yesterday when you heard Harrison Ford was in a plane crash?
Yeah, of course.
Absolutely. It's very rare that somebody walks away from a private plane crash, so I feared the worst.
And it said, critical condition, single engine plane. I was like, oh man, this was a nightmare. Luckily, I guess as lucky as it could be, he was taking off from Santa Monica Airport and had problems with the plane shortly thereafter, so he wasn't up that high in the sky when he started to go. Things started to go wrong for him, and he was able to put the single-engine plane down on the Penmar Golf Course yesterday afternoon.
Did you notice, Ralph, that Andrew Siciliano was the first journalist on the scene and
is
the one who took the photos that were then broadcast around the world?
I saw him tweet that out. I guess was he golfing on the course?
He was there. I don't know.
He's like, yeah, some dude just landed a plane here. He didn't even know it was Harrison Ford
at the
time.
Yeah, before it was even revealed who the pilot was. Yeah.
He is in the hospital. Apparently, doctors say he is in stable condition, and they expect that he'll be fine eventually. But I guess the good news was, and again, this sounds like a joke, but it's not, because it was a golf course, there were two doctors on the golf course right there at the hole, and they were able to treat him immediately after he got out of the plane. So I hope he's doing well. His son Ben tweeted recently that his dad's doing well. So do we want to listen to the tape?
Yes, we do.
We've got
it's chilling.
It is chilling. We were able to get a hold of the actual tape of Harrison Ford talking from the cockpit of this Ryan P-22 back to the tower at Santa Monica Airport when he first started reporting troubles with the engine, and you can hear it all the way up to the crash. It's kind of frightening.
Bravo Tango 7-9er, this is Santa Monica Airport. We have a report that you are experiencing some mechanical difficulty. Over.
Why are they telling this one?
I'm sorry, we didn't copy that. Could you repeat, please? Over. I repeat, this is Santa Monica Airport. We understand you're having some technical difficulty. Can you please speak up and report on what's happening? Over. Okay, you're going to need to put that plane down. Can you find any open area near you? Over. What was that? Over. Hey, listen, you...
He sounded really hysterical. I've never heard Harrison Ford scream like that.
I have a serious question, you guys. Harrison Ford crashed a helicopter in the Santa Clarita in 1999.
Yes.
Crash landed an airplane with other passengers on board in Nebraska in 2000.
Yes.
Isn't that enough? Do you stop flying these small planes if you've survived, at that point, two crashes? Or do you keep going year after year after year until you crash again?
Maybe he's trying to check out.
Maybe that's his plan.
Maybe.
I mean, what does it take to scare you off of flying?
Well, but he made it through both of those others. Maybe he has confidence that he can.
Look, if I crash once, I go, I'm pre-disastered. I crashed and walked away. There's no way anything can hurt me now. I'm bulletproof. Yeah. I'm Bruce Willis and Unbreakable. Nothing you can do to me. And then I crash again, I go, this is amazing! I'm really good at this! I can crash and walk away!
But my takeaway is maybe these small planes are not that safe. Or maybe I'm not good at piloting them, or maybe maybe I'm cursed and I'm likely to crash again if I fly.
Well, like, with that attitude, you're going to.
Bean, let's put it this way. You should not fly.
Correct.
Okay.
Because you're the guy who can't stand on a stage safely.
Sit in his chair safely.
So, sit in his chair. Remember when he passed out in his chair?
Oh.
Bean, you're right?
I'm fine.
Passed out in a chair.
That happens.
You know what they do? I'm feeling faint. What's the first thing they tell you to do? Sit down.
Yeah.
Because that'll make you feel better. Nope, not our man Bean.
What do you do if you're sitting down?
Just go. Just go, man.
The consensus from our many sweet listeners seems to be heart arrhythmia is what they're diagnosing me as.
Oh, good.
Having,
well, that's what
skipping,
you have.
Skipping heartbeats.
Well, go with that. Saying.
You're the healthiest man in the room.
I always am the healthiest man in the room. That's true.
Bruce Jenner sat down with Diane Sawyer. They had their big interview. And word is starting to leak out. We haven't seen it yet, but word is leaking out about what they talk about. Word is that she, no question is spared. She asked about his sex life, which I'm curious to know. Is he a lesbian?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
I've never known him to be in any relationship with men, so I'm assuming he's a lesbian, a transgender lesbian. So he will become a transition from male to female, but still be attracted sexually to women, to the best of my knowledge. They'll talk about his many cosmetic surgeries and his plans for the future. Word is he plans on getting larger breasts, but for the time being, he plans to keep his penis.
Oh, okay.
So apparently he's going to go through many of the changes of the transgender procedure, but he's going to hold on to his genitals. Save that for last.
I know that everybody's journey is a little different. There's no right or wrong way to make the transition, but for a lot of people, that's the part they can't wait to get to. They're frustrated with the waiting.
The genital?
You know, they're frustrated sometimes that they have to live as the opposite, you know, as a woman for 2 years or something like that before they're allowed to cut off their penis because that's the part they hate the most.
Mm.
Bruce apparently doesn't view his that way.
He likes his penis.
When is that interview air?
It does not say here when it's going to air. I guess we'll find out shortly.
All right.
He'll go from Bruce to Belinda. That's the rumor, that his name will be Belinda when he is fully transitioned and becomes a woman.
I hope it makes her happy. You know, I hope it is successful.
Speaking of which, listener Chuck Walker calls in with an email. Writes in with an email here. Good morning, Ralph. Let's be serious and cut to the chase. I heard you speaking about Bruce Jenner's transition earlier, and as a man, Bruce Jenner was a handsome, young, strapping Olympian. But no matter what is done in his journey from male to female, we all know as a woman, Belinda will never be a hottie. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Belinda will never be a hottie.
No! Come on, my biscotti was better than
That's Chuck Walker sent that in. Look.
I appreciate the brevity of that one.
Yeah. I'm bringing them all in. I'm bringing all shapes and sizes in now. We've got so many Bugattis. They're
usually
all
the setup's like a half hour long.
Yeah, well, I know we're running late, right, and it's almost the weekend, so we want to get out of here.
Do we have the Bugatti Hall of Shame, though? That's the break I'm looking forward to.
Next week, I'll start bringing in some bad ones.
The misses?
Okay.
Like one, I'm just paraphrasing here because it's not in front of me. If someone said, you don't want to fight Ronda Rousey because she'll run over you like a Bugatti.
What?
No, just, you can't use the actual word when you're doing the parody of the word.
You could use Rousey.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Huh.
She'll run over you like a Bugatti.
Nope.
No. Don't do that.
Deny. Yeah,
stop that.
You're missing the point.
Today's celebrity birthday is Rob Reiner, 68 years old today. Actor Tom Arnold is 56. Actor.
Depends on the project.
D.L. Hughley's 52. Connie Britton, we all love her on Nashville. She is 48. Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal. I put Paul on my back. He didn't make that pain go away. He's 43 years old today. Tim Howard is 36. Chris Thompson, Vampire Weekend drummer, is 31. And Tyler, the Creator, is 24. It seems like just yesterday when Bean sat down with his in-depth interview with Tyler, the Creator.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
I mean, you will see.
There you go. Hall of Fame!
Wow. There it is. I feel like we had a real connection there.
Wow. Yes, you did. You clicked.
You boys.
I'm Ralph Garman. I want the Showbiz Beat.
All right, we have a pair of tickets. The final pair of tickets to give away for this week for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. It is Saturday, April 4th, the Shrine Auditorium. You got your Tenacious D, your Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, and house music by Mike Realm. We'll take caller 15 right now, 1-800-520-1067.
So that person wins the tickets right now on K-Rock. The rest of us, we want to be online for Ticketmaster at noon today. Tickets go on sale straight up 12 o'clock noon. You don't have to even be a K-Rock Street Team member, and the proceeds benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU. This will be a quick sellout. Cheapest seats are $25, and then the party bus section, $99. And that includes the VIP parking, includes the T-shirt, includes the party that we have before the show, and they're all available at noon today. So good luck. Get those tickets, and we'll see you on April 4th at the Shrine. It's going to be a super great night for Kevin and Bean's April Fool's 2015.
It's going to raise a lot of money for charity as well.
Yay!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just let it go.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sounds racist.
No. Roll another one.
Do you shave your butt?
Just like the other one.
That's great goddamn radio.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Hey, white.
But I need another hit.
Why not me? This is America.
This is
America.
What does this mean?
This one seems to be about to end.
You guys are dead.
I don't have another cent.
Me, something, front row. You're not f***ing Scooby-Doo.
I don't want that joint.
Punch, punch, kick.
Just pass it around.
It's a blessing and a curse.
I don't want that joint, my friend.
I will go till you tell me to stop.
Just pass it.
Beat it, asshole! If you don't get out of here now, I'm gonna yell rape!
Why don't you yell Bigfoot? It's slightly more believable.
Instantly, I regret saying that. That was a horrible thing to say. And I'm very upset with how I'm acting right now. I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling. So I'm very sorry, but I'm just very upset right now. So I'm going to go ahead and go. But I'm not going to stop yelling, because then that'll mean I lost the fight. So please leave a key under the mat. I love y'all very much. Peace out.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hey, guys. Nice job by you. Better job by me. Out.